What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
Hey, Billy, remember when we were talking about our female names?
Sure.
What would be?
No.
No?
No.
A while back, we were talking about like what my female name would be.
Sure.
Mini Del Taco.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is pretty good. Did I say what mine was?
Maybe.
I don't know.
What is it?
Well, I don't know. I was like, was I awesome?
Yeah, probably.
Usually I'm awesome.
Probably so
I was,
awesome.
But I forget things. And
isn't
I'm
it just Lauren?
Huh? Laura would be it, actually.
Oh, Laura, sorry. Yeah.
That's an inside joke. Not even the people at the chair know about this.
No idea.
At the chair.
What?
Anyway.
Bobby knows it, right?
I don't know. So.
Not at all. Oh.
And I'm in an embarrassingly short chair today. But I'm still just as tall as Minnie, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm all torso. I got little tiny legs. It's true.
Like Salvador from Borderlands 2.
Yeah, exactly.
What does it look like?
So we are almost at our 100 reviews on iTunes, right? And once we hit 100, what are we doing?
Giving away $100. I think we'll be breaking that up into 20s. We haven't really made a decision on that, but right now we're at 99. So we just need one more. And then the people who have given us a review will get a chance to get a take of the pot.
Yeah. Keep in mind, if you're one of the 100 reviewers, if you review on multiple different accounts, well, that just increases your chances of winning some gift card money. So
we don't want to encourage such behavior, but it sounds like a fantastic way to do it.
No, or you could win your mom that gift card. So we appreciate any and all reviews. Thank you so much.
Mini Del Taco, so good.
Okay. Let's talk about some games. So on the radar, some games that we have noticed recently that have either come out recently or that we've just taken notice of. Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah, we talked about that about 3 weeks ago. I was a little bit off. I said reminded me of...
For Honor?
No, it was... The combat is like For Honor, though,
okay,
in this game.
Oblivion?
No, the one where you like you're a lord and you build a band of people and you run your castle and fuck, whatever. Anyway, it wasn't that. This is a 3D open world RPG, much like in the vein of Skyrim, I would say, but without magic. It's very like almost like feudal life, very tough back then, and your parents get killed and you have this huge quest to like avenge them. But I said I was going to, on something so epic like this, like it's really hard to pull something like this off. There's so much resources, thousands of hours, dialogue, all this stuff. So for an unknown developer, I forget who it is, but to make something like this, it's very, very lofty. Anyway, the reviews came out and it's eights across the board. And 8.5 from PC Gamer and like an 85 from somebody else too, IGN, I think. So they pulled it off. And I think that's pretty exciting for people that are into this kind of game. I think I'm seeing too many hours for me personally, but I just wanted to bring it back and say that, you know, they pulled it off and it's probably worth the purchase if you're into 3D world RPGs, you know, kind of like The Witcher, but again, without magic. It's the combat is like For Honor.
Yeah, I heard you like first start off as a peasant, and this game really makes you feel like a peasant, like riding behind like your knight while he, or not even riding, but like walking behind your knight as he's riding.
Oh yeah,
and you got to follow him around like you're just his bitch.
Yeah, and that's how it was, man. That fucking sucks.
Who is
they start you with shit on your face
in the
too.
Game of Thrones? What's his name? It starts with a P.
Oh yeah, Percy? No.
No.
I know
maybe
what
it's
you're
not
talking
with
about.
A P,
the one that's walking around with a...
With a huge schlong, chick. Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. I just remember
he had Podrick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Nice.
Podrick. There you go.
I would have never got that in a million years. 2 years between seasons on that. We're waiting to 2019, I think, for the next one, for the next season.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm excited, though. Mm-hmm.
Probably about time to end that show.
Anybody into this?
So it came out a couple weeks ago. A lot of people played it and complained that there were some bugs, some technical issues with the game. I've seen updates that said that they fixed a lot of those. I don't know how many of them, but I know that was a big problem people had with it. It seems like such a large-scale game, and I'm not into RPGs anyway. But $60, I don't know. Doesn't seem like my cup of tea here.
This is a huge game, though. It's like on the scale of Skyrim type.
Yeah,
like, you will get your money's worth.
Yeah, if you get your money's worth if you're into this kind of game. The Metacritic is a 75. Hey, is that new that they put the Metacritic in there?
No, that's part of the enhanced.
Oh, God damn it, I need this.
Yeah, it does all that fancy stuff. But when some game gets like, especially an 82, that's the number that sets me off. That's such a safe review score to give a game. 82, if you look back and see what games scored in the low 80s, it's like all the AAA titles. That's like saying, you know, the game was good, but there are some things you may not like. It's the most vague, like, way you can rate a game. I don't like giving numerical values to games anyway.
Not okay. Come home A plus or don't come home at all. Right, Bobby? Metacritic mom.
She's like, what?
I don't know. Am I that bad at making like an Asian joke, being the Asian girl?
I think your Asian accent is just terrible.
I was trained to get the Asian accent out of my system. So
yeah,
I don't really see any Steam Workshop on this game. There's no mods on this game.
I don't think so.
Doesn't
Not
look
yet,
like
anyway.
It.
Huh. I think it's probably yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The game's probably good. It's just not my type of game.
Yeah. If you took magic out of it, I'm not interested. Yeah,
dude, really. That makes me more interested. Yeah. I'm so tired of the whole fantasy thing.
Well, all right. Some people don't like rainbows and sunshine either.
All right. Well, the game I wanted to bring up, coming out March 27th, Far Cry 5.
Nah, fuck it. It doesn't have any magic.
I'm kind of excited about this game, but at the same time... A lot of things, I've seen this posted in a lot of places. A lot of people are concerned that this is just going to be like the last couple Far Cry games. Far Cry 3.2, they're calling it. So, I don't know. Other than the setting, do you think this is really going to be different than the other Far Cry games?
Nope. They have a system that works. Mm-hmm. Co-op.
It's just That's Assassin's new. Creed at this point. Well, they had co-op in the other games, but I don't know exactly how it worked. I think you had to... I don't know. I never tried it. I think you can join someone else's game and then you can complete certain missions with them. Yeah. Yeah. In Far Cry 4 and 3, I think you could do that.
That's gotta be fun.
This was like that Rainbow Six game. I think it was that came out like you're like in a desert mountain village.
Oh,
it like, looks just like this.
Yeah.
Well, it's like all co-op pretty much.
The one that's like, in like Peru or whatever. Is that one?
Yeah. Yeah. That yeah. one. I forget what that's called, but yeah, this looks exactly like it. Like the UI and everything is the same.
God, I can't remember that. It's a 4-player co-op game. Yeah. Anyway, about this one, well, it looks like they're pushing the co-op over the other ones. If I didn't even know about it, like they were definitely weren't pushing it last time. This one, they're, definitely, you know, the videos that we're seeing is showing two people do a bunch of stuff together. So that'll make it more fun. Maybe it's easier to do on this one.
Do you think they integrated they always had co-op, Bobby said, or some level of co-op, you said?
Yeah, it was kind of forced in there, but they had modes where you could play cooperatively with another person, but...
Do you think they're integrating or kind of emphasizing the co-op because of the success that GTA 5 has seen from their online community all?
Maybe, but that's not really a co-op, is it? That's more of an online mode, just a multiplayer mode where there's a whole bunch of people in a city trying to complete certain tasks.
Yeah. It's like a co-op story.
Oh yeah. And then they go on co-op missions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
You have the area. Yeah. GTA 5 is you have the area, the whole sandbox area. You can run around with your friends and other random people and do whatever, but then you go to a place and you start a certain mission and your group is just in that mission. So I don't know. Maybe they're trying to copy that. I mean, I think all games today, especially AAA titles, have to have some sort of multiplayer co-op mode in them. Like, that's a big feature people always want. So maybe they're just trying to push that a little bit more.
Yeah, and it keeps down, I think, how many people just download the game illegally, torrent it, you know?
Yeah.
Because they want that online aspect. Mm-hmm. So that adds a lot to that.
Yeah, $60. You know this is going to go down in time, though. You'll be able to get it for cheaper. So I'll probably wait until then. I still haven't beaten Far Cry 4, and I haven't started Primal. Just out of curiosity, I've played all of them but Primal. What's the order, best to worst, for you guys for Far Cry games? Because this is one of my favorite series. Like Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, I played a few here and there. But Far Cry is one of the few games where I've played just about every single one in the series.
I haven't played one since 2006.
Okay.
Well, we can all agree that worst one is Blood Dragon.
No, that would be the best
actually, one. I've never played it. I've not played it only to spite Bobby.
No, that's the... I mean, aside from the whole 80s aesthetic, that... I say this every single time, that game just understood its... The length of the game. It's like 7 hours. It's like, okay, 7 hours, you do absolutely everything you could possibly do, the game's over. It's perfect.
And Neon Dinosaurs.
Yeah, and that helps.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. These games are just a little too bloated for me. Like, you always end up doing some of the side missions, and then you get bored of it. It kind of makes you sick of the game, and then you just feel like you're forced to finish it just to see where the story's going. So, I don't know. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon was the only one where I felt like it fit the timeline of the story. So that one, I think, was a great game, too. It's really old now. It's probably due for a remaster, but one, spectacular. For me, it probably goes Blood Dragon 3, tie between 1 and 4, then I would assume Primal. I don't know. See, I didn't play Primal, but then 2. 2 was different.
It was different, right? It's the only one that
different.
Like, yeah.
Isn't the Sahara, I think, or in Africa?
That's where I started the series.
And it was very open-ended. It didn't have like a straight story that you went all the way through, like a campaign. It was very open-ended.
But that's when they started. I remember there was some groundbreaking things they did in 2, mm-hmm. where like the fire was then dynamic, where you could start a fire on one point and the grass would actually burn dynamically, like randomly, according to where the grass was laid out and the wind was blowing. I was like, what the fuck? That's awesome. So you could light a grass fire near their fort, and conditions permitting, it would creep all the way there, and then they'd start freaking out, and then you move in from the other end. And they haven't, I guess it's in the games now, but like not with the grass in it. Anyway, I would go Primal, 4, 3, 2, I guess. Yeah.
Where does Far Cry 5 take place?
It's in like
Montana, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it like modern times?
Yeah, or? Hope County, Montana.
Yep.
Yeah, modern times.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got M4s and AKs.
Yeah, it's centered around a cult known as Eden's Gate. So
they're always in modern times, right?
The Far Cry?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, except for Primal, obviously.
Primal and Blood Dragon.
Yeah. Blood Dragon, I don't know. That wasn't... I mean, that was retro-futurism, so I don't know where you stick that in the timeline. But yeah, I guess they are all contemporary. But it's all about the location in Far Cry games. Like, they serve as the large set pieces that these...
Outside of the setting, are there any other notable differences? Since they do come out with so many, is there one element that they're implementing into Far Cry 5 that doesn't exist in the other games?
The only thing I can tell from now is the push on the co-op. Which is cool. I would like to play through a Far Cry with somebody.
Well, that's what people are saying. There hasn't been anything new in these Far Cry games since 3.
I don't think you need to, though. They're just fucking really stellar games. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. They have a system. It works. And just keep pumping them out. It's fine. I'm not going to complain. Like, I just listed the 6th one, I think, in the series as the best one. So, like, I think they're doing okay over there. Well, for me, personally. I thought Primal was fantastic. And I also feel like I'm the only person on Earth that's played it. Like, I've never talked to somebody else who played Far Cry Primal.
Well, people were a little confused when Primal came out. It was right after 4, and people thought maybe this is going to be like a Blood Dragon thing, like just a small version of a game sold for cheaper, or they just didn't really believe that it was going to be a full featured, you know,
$60.
$60 title. Because it was so soon after 4.
Yeah.
And I still haven't beat 4 because it just felt the same as 3.
Yeah.
Except you're in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Himalayas.
So just to jump up in up to news for a second, Amazon Prime came out with a video, like a live-action 30-minute video about this, about Far Cry 5.
About the making of it, or like,
no, it's like
about the cult.
It's like the story of.
Oh,
the game.
Nice!
Like, I think it's that's like a. Cool.
Did you watch it?
Live action?
I did not know. But yeah, it's like leading up to the current events of the game.
Cool.
Did you know there is a Far Cry movie?
No.
No.
And it's by that director that makes all the shitty video game movies.
Oh, Uwe Ball?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it is, and I've watched it because I was a fan of the series.
Oh, yeah, 3.1 on IMDb.
It is horrible. It came out in 2008. It is just a terrible movie. It that just doesn't seem to have anything to do with the game at all. Which, like,
well, there's a gun and a guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, not animated. This is all live action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Uwe Ball only does. Is that how you say his name? Uwe Ball?
I thought it was U.
So how do you know?
U-W-E.
What does this guy, what is he famous for?
Shitty video game movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's just
what other does. Video just, game movies has he made?
Did he make Doom?
No.
No, he
that,
made
That is way above this guy's
Yeah, Sam
level.
Liked Doom. I was like,
what? I like Doom, too.
Yeah, Doom wow.
I rewatched that not too long ago, and the problem with Doom is they don't show you any of the demons till like way later in the movie,
yeah,
and they show them very dark and in the shadows. Like, you could tell they were really cutting costs in that.
Mm.
But yeah, he did House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark.
Blood Rain.
He did a lot of
so, Postal.
Yeah, Postal.
Far
yeah.
Cry.
Rampage. Those are both video.
Not the new one, though, right?
I don't know if that's Rampage, the one with the monsters tearing up the building.
Looks, whatever.
Because they're making a
how
new
do you,
one.
How
they're
do
making
you
a new one with getting, The Rock, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way Uwe Ball could do that. With The Rock. There's no way.
No, and he, yeah, House of the Rampage Dead was the one that I remember. Creatures.
No, with The Rock.
No, what's Dwayne. Rampage, though?
Oh, yeah. It's the side-scrolling arcade game where you destroy buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not side-scrolling. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, well, it kind of goes up and down. You climb the buildings, you play King Kong or the lizard dude, and you smash and you eat people out of the windows.
To gain health.
Well, I think you're talking about like the first version where it's like one building on one screen.
Well, yeah. Well, but there's another version.
There's another version.
They made multiples where you like actually like side-scroll across the screen. You jump over multiple buildings.
Oh, times have changed.
It's console world.
Since like 1989, since the Atari. Maybe.
But is that mostly on console, though?
I think it was a console thing,
on
yeah.
PC?
No, I've never
I've
seen
definitely
PC.
Seen them on console, but I don't know.
So
if see.
Better that this guy made super shitty versions of video game movies, or better they not exist at all? What do you guys think?
I'd say not exist at all. You watch these movies and they,
straight to Netflix.
They aren't even interesting in the fact that they're so bad. Like sometimes you watch a really bad movie and you're like, "This is just so bad, I can't look away." That's mm-hmm. not this movie. They're just so bland and uninteresting.
It's unfortunate because they're using the success of the video game. It's almost like the Into the Breach effect, but the game is actually good,
mm-hmm.
but with the movies, it's almost like they're just, especially if the movie's nothing at all like resembling the video game,
they're
just using the success
using,
and the name mm-hmm. to hype it up.
All those, I've never played a good Disney game. All those, like The Lion King, all that shit is just fucking, I don't know.
There used to be some good ones, like Sega Genesis, Aladdin.
Yeah, I was about to say,
even The Lion King one on Super Nintendo and Sega was good, but yeah, recently, I don't know. Yeah, but that does happen. Like a famous movie or a popular movie comes out, they make a game
Kingdom
about it.
Kingdom Hearts is part Disney, and that's an amazing RPG.
Right, yeah. But I meant like based on it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's talk about some games here. Who wants to go first?
I guess Minnie and I will with Vermintide 2. Warhammer Vermintide.
I watched a little bit on stream, but I didn't. And how was it, guys? I got bored watching it. I'm sorry.
That's
why I didn't stick around long. The mage class did not seem very fun.
Oh, that's the most fun to play.
Yeah,
I think.
Really?
The mage is awesome.
Yeah, the mage is
probably the most.
Yeah.
That or the archer. Archer's super fun, too.
Yeah, those are two characters I've been playing, mage and archer, and they are both like just powerhouses in destruction.
Well, the mage has to balance her health, right? Because she can do damage to herself to do more damage to other people, right?
She has this like overheat meter, and if your meter peaks out, then you pretty much instantly die. You just explode in a big fireball.
Yeah.
And
it sucks.
And you're dead.
That's like the very first game, too, right?
Mm-hmm. There's so basically, this is the first game, but they I'll quickly go over the differences.
Yeah, because I don't know.
So there is now a perk system. So every 5 levels, you unlock a perk that you can pick out of a tree of 3. So every 5 levels, you get to pick one of 3 things. But you can actively, like if you're going into a certain kind of mode, you can just change them at will. It's not like you have to respec. I mean, it is respecing, but there's nothing you need to do besides go into the tree and adjust what you want to adjust. So if you want to heal a little bit more, there's some stuff in there for that, so on and so on. There's that, and then this is the big selling point, and this is what makes this game so much better than the first one, other than the graphics. The graphics are way better and amazing. I kept just looking around saying, this is fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you're playing a class, you only unlock items for that class. You don't get shit for the other classes. Dude, you would just grinding, fucking, you're like, what the fuck, man? I can't get a goddamn thing for the guy that I'm playing unless I scrap 700 things to make one decent thing. And it just sucked. And that's what took the wind out of my sails for the first one. And this one's so much better, where you're constantly upgrading, like constantly. Maybe even at the beginning, you're upgrading almost every run, which that's is awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. so cool. Mm. And now there's perks on weapons. So it's not just the base damage, which is called the power level. There's also, like, you know, 10% more damage to Skaven or whatever, right? Things like that. So you can, and there's like enchanting where you can put those things onto weapons as well.
Are you allowed to disenchant things and reapply the same buff onto other weapons?
Is that how it works, Mini? Do you know?
You can disenchant and then roll a random enchantment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's that. The crafting is more. There's more crafting to be done, and it's more fun because you're getting shit that you actually want.
There's
chance.
Another game that does that too, where you have specific loot drops, but they're not necessarily class specific. But the loot that you see and pick up from the ground is strictly your loot, so nobody can walk up and ninja loot you. Do you know what game I'm talking about?
There's no loot like that. Like, you don't pick it up in the game.
Oh.
After the round, based on how well you did,
basically, yeah,
is how good your loot box is. So your loot box starts as a shitty little loot box. It looks like something you would shit in. And then it tallies all your points, and then, like, it upgrades, and you can see the chest
really
upgrading.
Neat.
And so that's pretty awesome.
That would be a lot of fun, because that would force you to master certain elements of the game just to make sure you max out that score.
Exactly.
And get the best loot every time. I like that.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a reason to want to perform better.
So the way they do that is, in this game, they have you get these tomes and grimoires, and you have to explore the level to find them, because they're not just going to be in your path. They are out of the way, and you have to go search inside of a hidden cave that's hidden behind some brush or
any clues or
no clues.
Like, so you just have to find it.
Same spot, right?
Yeah, it's static. Yeah. And I don't understand that part. I think maybe I was thinking about, why would you put the goodies all in the same spot every time you run? The only thing I can think of is maybe the editor that's running the bad guys, and when they jump out, is kind of like, has something to do with, like, these are ambush points. But you don't always get ambushed when you're working on them. So I don't know. That was the only reason I can think.
Mm. Well, that's how the first game was. So if you grouped up with someone who knew the map well, and they're like, oh, there's a grimoire here and there's this there, then they would automatically just run to those parts, run to those spots and get those items. So I don't know. I don't know if I prefer it one way or the other. Because if it's random, then you have to try every single time to try to find out where it is.
Yeah.
If it's always in the same spot, there's a benefit to replaying the map and learning them and knowing, okay, this one's always going to be in this location.
Well, they do have the loot die, which is completely random.
Mm-hmm. That's what you roll at the end, right?
No, it's actually just something in the world that you find. It's like a big golden die.
Hmm.
And it's sometimes you don't see it for like three games. Sometimes you find two in the same level.
And then that helps at the end upgrade your chest more.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they did have that in the first
game. Is there a competition for that? Or does it benefit all players?
It applies to everybody.
Yeah. Okay,
yep.
That's great.
And same thing with the grimoires and the tomes.
Yeah.
But
and the tomes, they're necessary in order to pass the level?
No, it's just to upgrade your chest at the end. Everybody's working together to try to get this done. But which one is the one that lowers your max health?
Grimoire. I think it lowers your health by like 20 to 30%.
So your
you
max
can get
health,
more than one too, right?
You can get up to two.
Your max health is lowered by 20% every one of these that you pick up. And that is substantial.
Makes it even harder.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to carry three of these. And by the way, it takes up the slot of your health packs.
Yeah.
So you can't carry a health pack and this fucking grimoire. So it's really hard if you want to get three of these done. And we were playing on easy, and we couldn't do it with three grimoires.
Yeah, it's difficult, but I like that they put that in there, because you can scale the difficulty according to how well you're performing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying. It's like, let's see how good we're doing until we get to the grimoire, and maybe we should pick it up or not.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, if things are going really well, you might run back and grab one, or vice versa. You can put it down on the ground and just, like, pick up a health pack instead, because, like, fuck, we're not doing too well.
Is that a new class? I see a fifth person there.
I don't think there's a new class. But, that's another new thing.
Right?
Yeah, there's subclasses now. So every few levels, you unlock a subclass, which is a different way to play.
Are there four classes or five?
Five.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I always thought there was four for some reason.
What is
five classes and three subclasses per each class?
And it completely changes the class. Yeah. So I'm playing like the tank guy that has a two-hander. Now I'm playing him with a sword and board. But
and you can resub him between games, or do you have to stick him out?
Between the games.
Do they level separately, the different subclasses?
No, you keep the same level.
Oh, okay. And it turns him into a damage dealer. He's like a ranged damage dealer. So he's completely different. So
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Maybe, you know, you've leveled up this one character to level 20, and you don't need a tank this game. I'll just turn myself into a fucking DPS, right? It's pretty cool. I haven't played the DPS version, but
I like that, because that way you can always balance.
So they call them careers.
I think it would be unfair for us to not say how shitty of a time we had getting a game started yesterday.
How
right?
come?
I don't know. Fucking just everything seemed to be going wrong yesterday.
Yeah, there was a few bit of network issues. Plus, like other people were just not connecting correctly, or some people had to like go out and had to find another one.
It was just one of those days where it took an hour and a half to get a game going. Yeah, it was rough. And this is way too late.
How are the servers though? We're, outside of getting the game
good,
started,
right? Yeah, they're good. I have had a couple disconnects. I mean, they're not perfect servers.
Are you allowed to reconnect? Just jump back in the game?
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
yeah.
Unless you're the host.
Yeah.
And then the game
just
crashes, right?
The game, the
I think,
game
no, I think it does recycle the host.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Someone else becomes the host?
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, it is peer-to-peer, so that's not ideal.
And because we're terrible podcasters, I'm going to say now what this game is. It's basically Left 4 Dead for people moving through a dungeon and trying to do as well as they can to unlock better goods and stuff. So, and a lot more daytime in this game. Like I said, the graphics are fantastic. I'm a huge fan. Like, they got rid of the worst things of the first one, and it's just all around better. And it has a berserker dwarf, which is fucking amazing to watch him work. So the dwarf, I guess it's his third unlock or second?
I think it is his last one.
He goes shirtless. He has two little axes, and he's just this tornado of fucking damage that just runs around.
That's funny.
It's fucking amazing to watch him go.
Yeah, we were playing a game with him yesterday, and he was just like running through guys, and we're just like playing catch up the entire time, not attacking anything. He's just like blowing
through
enemies.
He was like a tornado. He was like a Tasmanian devil.
That's awesome.
Bobby, I wish you were around yesterday, because I had questions about like shoving. Like, you're really good. I remember watching you shove things like all the time with the dwarf, right? With the sword and board, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think I might have had a mace. Different weapons work differently when you're doing the melee or the shove or the block.
And that's what I learned yesterday. So I was going two-hander and I was shoving, and I was like, I can't find one reason why I would shove, because a slice would do so much better with the two-hander. Mm-hmm. But then I went sword and board, and it changed everything. Now things are falling over when I'm pushing them. Now I can stun bosses. Like, it changes everything, and I was really enjoying that.
Shoving
as well.
Was huge in Left 4 Dead in terms of
staying alive.
Yeah, yeah. Deflecting enemies.
It wasn't bugged, but they had to fix it a little down the road, because what they would do, I remember doing this on the hospital level at the very end. You get to the top of the hospital, you find this little closet, you put all three people in the back of the closet, and you put one guy crouching up front, and all he does is hold down right click and constantly shove.
Okay.
And he just does that, nobody can get in, and everybody just mows down all the zombies that come your way. So they eventually had to put a cooldown on the shove and Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. I remember doing something similar, but it was with melee attacks in Left 4 Dead 2, where we would get in a closet and just everybody would just switch to melee, and no zombies could get in. You just keep swinging. Yeah. I don't know if they fixed that.
Well, in Left 4 Dead 2, they also had things like the charger that would break up any sort of plan like that, because that was a problem in Left 4 Dead 1. People would turtle in a small room. Mm-hmm. Charger comes in, barrels in, knocks everyone out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Bobby, you should buy this. I would recommend. I know you really like
it. Sounds
the first
good.
One.
Well, the big issue that I had with the first one was no progression. After a while, after I had done all the levels and kind of set my own goals for beating them on whatever difficulty I decided was worthy, then I lost all interest in the first one. And I upgraded my weapon like once. Yeah, like one time, because I always played the dwarf. I got drops for other things. It took so long to get a new weapon for him, and there was no perk system. So it sounds like they really addressed some of my biggest complaints about the
first
one.
Exactly. My
and for
review.
$30, I mean, that's a decent price for this game.
Yeah, and we're playing now, so I think this is the time to buy it. If you want to play with us, guys, this is the game right now. I'll be playing it next week for sure. Minnie?
Is there Versus? Yeah.
Not yet.
No, there's not.
No, but I imagine they would. Well, I don't know. They didn't do it.
They
in the
didn't
first
do
one.
It on the first one. That was a big part of Left 4 Dead 2 was being able to play as the zombies. I wonder if that's just not in the plan.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I think it would be cool.
Whenever we put this on the list, I'm like, well, there's not much to say. And then we fucking just went on for like 20 minutes.
Oh, if I could tell a story. I told you already, but a story of somebody disconnecting and reconnecting. It was, I was playing with a friend, Porce, and also a listener, Vaping Mid. So Vaping Mid and I have been drinking all night. And we just finished a level, and he was like, he was playing kind of weird. He was like falling off the map, and he just like would stop for a minute. And but we finished the level, even though he was like being really shitty. Then we got back to our little hub, and we're about to start the next mission. And we're like, Vaping, you there? And he's just like, not anything. He's like, okay, well, I guess he fell asleep at his keyboard. So after about 10 minutes of waiting, we just kicked him and started the next mission.
Do you get a bot?
We got a bot, but we also had somebody else join.
Okay.
So we just joined. We had three people and then a bot. And I just said, yeah, I guess over comms, I guess he's probably like throwing up in the toilet right now because he said he wasn't feeling well. He's like, nope, guys, I'm here. Yeah. I was like, okay, you just woke up. All right, man, well, have a good night. He's like, nah, I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Oh, my God.
I was like, dude, are you serious? He's like, yep, let's go.
Well, so he really just fell asleep at the desk.
He fell asleep at the desk
for 10 minutes.
We're like 20 minutes into the next level.
Got a second win.
Yeah,
and yeah. He takes over the bot, and we just beat the game because that was like the last mission of that act. So
now you guys are playing on the easy difficulty. Yeah. Is it still challenging?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It is. We're
not,
it's really hard.
We're not just blowing through things.
Yeah.
Well, when you beat it on easy, you could eventually get enough rewards in the perk system and enough better weapons where you would then play it on a harder difficulty, right?
And they have four difficulty settings, and the difficulty settings are locked based on your power level. Mm-hmm. So you can be a low level, but still have a high power level and be able to do the harder missions.
Okay, that's cool.
Is it possible to...
And power level is based on your gear equipped.
Exactly.
Okay.
100% gear.
Is it possible to play, like, say you're really high level and very well geared, you can still play with someone who's lower level,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can play, yeah. If you want to just, like, you're a level 99 mage, you can just go into a recruit and carry.
Okay.
Or whatever the max level is right now.
Huh. All right. Cool. Don't mind this. I'm just pulling up something for later.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what Bobby's doing.
Doing something off screen here. Don't look at my monitor. This is my monitor. It's just for me over here. I don't know why it turned so towards you guys.
Ebony, you did play the first Vermintide, right?
No,
oh,
did
you
not.
Didn't play the first Vermintide. Did you play a lot of Left 4 Dead?
Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was kind of hard set on not getting this game, but after hearing what you guys said, especially
the
upgrade,
issues, yeah.
Yeah, the progression in it, I'm kind of interested in this game. Not going to lie.
No,
so $30
fun.
For the game. Mm-hmm. It's not an early access. It's out.
Yeah.
You can buy it.
How many maps are there?
I was saying either 10 or 13 because I think it's 13 right
That's
now.
That's not bad.
And there are a lot of people playing this game.
And it's only 4 people per server or 5?
4.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me bring this up. I had it a moment ago. Where'd it go?
And while playing, nobody can be the same class. Like, you only have one of each class.
Yeah, makes sense.
So today's peak, 73,000 people playing this game. That's a lot.
That's a good amount, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this game did come out recently, March 8th. So, you know, usually the numbers are a little inflated for that. But still, that's a lot of people playing this game.
All right. I think Bobby's soul game spot, Bobby.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have the money. I have the money. I remember how I said I was selling off all my emoticons and my wallpaper and all my cards.
How's that going?
It's going good. I'm almost through. I'm down to about 3,000 items in my inventory. I've got about 1,400 more auctions going at the moment, and I've made around $700.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah.
Speaking of selling and making money, the knife that I said I got that's worth about $700, I'm contemplating selling it, but I don't know if it's possible to sell it for real money. I know there is a way, but I don't think there's an authentic way without jeopardizing, you know, people.
I think it's pretty legit.
What about, I mean, OP Skins is a site that I think people do a lot of business on, and that seems fairly legit. I've used it for selling Steam items before, but yeah, I mean, it's with such a valuable item, you want to be careful because there's a lot of shady shit out there. So.
Yeah, and the reason why I said I'm interested in selling it, it's not because it's a rainy day, but I thought about it. I've always wanted to get a new snowboard because the one that I have, it's not even in the state and it's not worth bringing because I bought bringing it to California because I bought it when
it's
I was
so expensive.
15, right? 16. And it's too old. It's completely outdated, overused. And I haven't bought myself a new snowboard in who knows how long. And then I thought as an early birthday gift, I am turning 30 this year. A nice new snowboard would be nice. So it would make sense to trade out the knife for something real. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a virtual item.
I had a friend who goes down to Mexico for surfing, and they charge the same for a person as a surfboard, the same, if not more, to transport it because it's so like oblong and weird to deal with. Hmm. She had to pay double to go down to Mexico with her surfboard.
It was so weird how you worded that. They charge the same for a person.
Are
we talking about Mexican prostitutes? Like, what is going on here?
Oh, I just heard one. I know of someone who tried to transport a person across the border and got caught because it's really lucrative. I think it's like $10,000 a person to cross, mm-hmm. like in your car. And this person said he was super nervous. He's shaking. He's sweating. And the guy says, "You have a person in your trunk, don't you?" He goes, "Yes, I do."
Really? Oh, my goodness.
What if he just says that to everyone that comes through?
Yeah.
Speaking of people in trunks, I watched Goodfellas for the first time this week.
Did you like it?
I did. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a very long movie, but it was
Goodfellas.
I don't know why it took me so long to watch that movie. Wow.
The hair in that movie. Man.
Bobby, you'd fit right in. What are you talking about?
I would. Like, I've got that. Like, this is like the helmet hair. Like, oh, yeah. Goodfellas.
Oh, one last thing on falling asleep at the keyboard. I've told this story before, but it's been forever. During my EverQuest addiction, I fell asleep raiding the Fire Giants. And I forget what it's called, but we're going for a dragon. Anyway, I fell asleep, and they're calling me on the phone. My phone's ringing. And I didn't wake up till the next morning. They're still calling me. And this is my raid. And I pick up and they're like,
10 man, I go, 20 man,
40,
40 man. Oh 40 yeah. Man, back yeah. in the day.
And they call me and they're like, "Emilio, you're in the Fire Giants, throne room. And he's going to respawn like any minute now." And this couldn't have been scripted any crazier. Like I get up, I go, "Oh my God." And I see my screen and the Fire Giant spawns and I hit fucking teleport home. And I'm fucking casting the spell and he's like boom boom boom, because
awesome.
If you get stuck there, it's not like WoW where you can get your body back. You need to have a team of 40 people to get you back there to get your body. And I disappeared as he was like about to swing on me.
No way.
Craziness.
That's epic.
Craziness. Yeah, you used to have to pay like top tier monks. They can feign death, so uh-huh. you have to slash. It was a command like slash permission body or something like uh-huh. that. And it gives that person the permission to move your body. And monks, you would have to pay them a lot of money to go in, get your body, and like over hours, painstakingly pull it out of the thing. Because you would lose everything.
Sounds harsh.
Yeah.
Too bad I never played EverQuest because that element
so
of it.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
I remember when I actually started my first MMO was Final Fantasy XI. And when I transitioned over to Vanilla WoW from Final Fantasy, I thought WoW was too easy. With Final Fantasy XI, when you die, you lose gold and you lose experience, I believe.
Yep.
And it was just so much more punishing. Even to level up past, I think, 18, 19 was really hard. You couldn't do it without a 5-man group.
WoW?
Yeah.
Same thing. I was like, "This is what? You can just get your body? This is fucking stupid. It's so too easy." I'm like, and I called it that day. I was like, "You're just going to end up with a bunch of 12-year-olds at level 50. And sure enough, I mean, that's kind of part of what ruined the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because anybody could be level 50. And
I think it was 15,
and it's gotten
16.
Worse since then. It's gotten 10 times worse since then.
Like, there's a lot of younger kids?
Yeah, and they will not get off my lawn. This is what you guys sound like right now.
No, I was much younger when I played MMOs, so Funny thing, by the way, I'm still playing and only really playing CSGO. Mm-hmm. And I get into games where there are some really toxic people, especially since, yes, you know, I'm a female on the mic and they're mm-hmm. just always trash talking on the get-go as soon as they find out. But I can't. I am known to rage, but I don't feed into people who bring forth sexism into right. the game. Mm-hmm. Basically, I just ignore them or immediately mute them. Mm-hmm. I try not to mute them because I take the game seriously enough where I'll listen to them talk shit, yeah. but at least I can still hear their call-outs.
Yeah.
And but then a lot of them are significantly younger, and it's weird for me to know that I'm playing with somebody probably 15
yeah.
years younger than me, maybe 20.
Right.
No, maybe not 20. Okay. At least 15. I'm not that old. I got to remind myself. But when they talk shit, I don't respond to it at all. Like at this point, I'm completely unfazed, when it comes to younger kids talking crap, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't even be mad at it because I know in real life, if there was a younger kid interacting with me, he would not be anything like his online personality. Right. So I can't even be upset at him because I just feel like grandma. Yeah. I just feel like I can't. It's like, I can't yell at you, kid, because you're probably, you know, you're having like first world problems in right. like the real life, and you got to like take it out on the internet right. and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. And you're like almost 30 now, so you're just like the old lady in the room.
I really am.
One of my favorite memes is CSGO lobby when they figure out that there's a girl in it, and it's the shot of Khaleesi when all the horsemen like circle around her, and standing in the middle like, what the fuck?
Oh boy. So last week I said I was going to have a full review on The Long Dark. Didn't happen this week. Sorry guys.
You know what? Just walk right on out.
I don't think I'm going to be able to play this game to completion. I tried. I spent 40 minutes on the same level trying to get through it, and I kept throwing a rock at a wolf. The hitbox was all weird. Sometimes I would hit it, sometimes I wouldn't. If I did hit it, he'd run away. Great, I can harvest the deer and then build my fire. And then I would try to save it. And then if I loaded that save, it would reset the aggro on the wolf, and he would just start attacking me after I loaded it. So I was a little unclear on what I was supposed to do there, and it seemed, I don't know, I kept running into problems trying to beat this one specific part of the game that wasn't too far into it. So I got kind of fed up with it, and I was like, all right, screw it. I'll come back to this later. So
I'm a little confused, Bobby, that you called it a level. There's mm-hmm. levels in this game?
Yeah. So it's an open, it's not even really open world. It's a survival game, but they segment it into levels. So the first one's very easy. You know, there's a plane crash, you regain consciousness, build a fire, stay warm, go to sleep. That's level one. Easy. Next one, they introduce a few new things. So the level that I'm at now is, there's a lot more going on, and I have a lot more autonomy. They're not directing me as much, like, oh, do this, do that. Like, right. So I have to kind of figure out my own way of beating this level, which is cool, but it was just mm-hmm. taking me a while, and I was getting frustrated with that stupid wolf. Like, it was.
Yeah, throwing rocks at wolves just doesn't seem like a very effective strategy.
I was just thinking, as you were saying that, would it work? Like a good size rock, and you'd have to hit it right in the face.
Well, when you hit it, he goes running around barking, and then. Then if you build a fire, they'll stay away from the fire, but it's all resource management. So it's like, how much fire do I really want to, how much wood do I want to commit to this fire here? How much further do I have to go? And then you can fight him off too. Like if he gets on you, you have to slam the mouse button several times and you'll sustain some injuries, but you can fight him off. So yeah, there's a lot going on. It's not a bad game. It's just not what I can do right now at the moment. So I've been trying to find that game that I can kind of get into. And ever since I listened to that Significant Zero's audio book, they talked a lot about Mafia too on that book. And I'd never played a Mafia game. So loaded up Mafia 2, played about an hour or two of it, thought I'd get into it. This game is exactly like Grand Theft Auto. Like I didn't realize this is
but more Mafia serious games.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's more serious. So it takes place right after World War II in a fake city called Empire City, which is obviously New York. Mm-hmm. And I've never played any of the Mafia games. I know those have been kind of popular, but not nearly as much as Grand Theft Auto. But down to, like we were talking about tutorials last week, the tutorial in this is exactly the same. Like, you walk out your door, you get into a fight with some dude, they teach you how to throw punches. then they do the whole tutorial with the gun, and then you learn how to drive the car in the city. It's just, it's exactly like Grand Theft Auto, which isn't a bad thing. And I kind of enjoyed the setting a little bit more than I did in some of the Grand Theft Auto games. But, you know, I think I said this before, all Grand Theft Auto games are pretty much Scarface. Like, you're just some dude starting from the bottom, trying to work his way up. And that's what this game is like, too, except it's in the mafia. I will say the voice acting is really good. There is a lot of it. It's very well done. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see that, because that's what Significant Zeros, he talked a lot about. He directed the voice acting in that. That was like his first opportunity to direct voice acting. So it was cool to know a little bit of the backstory on that. I don't know if I'll continue playing it, because I played Vice City. Like, that's in a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into the Grand Theft Auto games. So I don't know if I'm going to be too into this one either.
It's an old game, right? Mafia 2?
Mid-2000s.
Okay, yeah. I think I remember playing
Mafia 3 came out recently, I think.
And that's a big shame, because Mafia 3 had millions and millions of dollars go into it, and it was a huge failure, the way I understand it. Tons of voice acting, like... This is a triple A title.
Shit, or the gameplay,
I don't know what the problems were. And I was looking forward to playing this game.
When it came out, there were technical issues with Mafia 3.
Yeah.
So this one, mixed reviews. Yeah, October 6, 2016.
Mixed is like as bad as you can get.
My gosh.
Oh, no, negative is the worst, right?
Yeah.
But you rarely see that. Yeah. Mostly negative, yeah. And you play as a black guy in the Mafia, I think.
I think it's during this, 1968. I think it kind of bleeds over into the 70s a little bit, but it's got kind of that hippie disco vibe to it.
Like I said, this had a lot riding on it, tons of money, and it did not deliver. I was really looking forward to it, because I heard a podcast with one of the voice actors. He's like, man, you would not believe what we went through for this game.
Yeah.
And I was like looking forward to it, and then, just didn't deliver, unfortunately. Maybe it's better now. Let us know if you've played it and if it's good, because I still want to play it.
I'd imagine it is, because it seemed like the technical issues is what really held it back. But the voice acting, I mean, for the main characters is a lot. But on top of that, you just have, this is an open world game. There's like hundreds of people walking around in this city, and if you bump into one, they say something. So, I mean, all these little barks, I think they usually call it.
Sorry. I'm trying to jump back into chat.
Okay. But yeah, just all that little stuff, they got to write and record that. It's insane. Yeah, this is by 2K Games.
Bobby, what turned you off about like GTA 5, the best-selling game of all time? Like, what made you like not continue?
The single player was cool. I enjoyed the single player up to a certain point. I really liked how they had three main characters, one guy on his way out, one guy up and coming, and then the wild card.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. The multiplayer, I really liked. I thought it was great, except for the loading times. The loading times fucking killed it for me.
Never
they were
played
so
on
the long.
Played it maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, we played
minutes.
It. That was like the first game we ever played with Lab Monkey, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had a blast in the multiplayer doing the missions, upgrading my car, like picking out the rims. Like, I thought that was great.
But you liked all this stuff, but why didn't you finish the game?
That was the only game that ever got taken off my account that I bought from G2A. So when that happened, I was kind of like, fuck it. I'll buy it on Steam when it's on sale.
Right.
And then I just never got around to it. So, I mean, my Rockstar account still has my progress saved to it. So I think if I bought it off of Steam, I'd start right back where I was. Oh, I also ran into a bug in the single player where the quest line messed up and I had to reset it somehow. So yeah, it was just some technical things.
Those are the worst, dude. If there's like a game breaking bug, like I ran into The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm ever going to go back to The Witcher, because I don't want to start over. I don't know where I am. Like, if I started over, that's one thing, but that's too much time. And then if I started playing again, I don't know where the fuck I am in the story. So, like, I don't know if I can ever go back. It's really hard. It's a big hurdle, like you said.
Yeah, it's hard to pick up where you left off in a lot of games. You know, a lot of games, they tutorialize you, and then you know what you're doing. There's, like, a build-up to a certain point. And if you stop playing and then you come back, then you've forgotten all that, and you almost need it again, or a quick refresher, or, like, a previously on to catch you up with it. After I was playing Mafia 2, I was like, you know what? I never beat Vice City. I got stuck on that one motorcycle jump level, like late in the game near the end, and could never do it. It was so hard. Maybe because I was using the keyboard and mouse, and the controls for Vice City are super janky on a modern machine. So I installed that, tried to load it up, and couldn't get it to run on Windows 10. I started Googling how to make Vice City run on Windows 10. There's all these fixes, do this, do that. And I was like, ah, fuck it. Not even worth it.
Same thing happened to me for GTA 4. I'd never beat it.
Four?
I think four. I'd never beat it because the very last guy, you're chasing him, and you have to use like every kind of vehicle. It's a foot chase, then a car chase, then a boat chase, and then to go from car to plane, I couldn't fly a plane on the controller, so I had to switch to the keyboard. But the game wouldn't let you switch in the middle. And I'm like, this is impossible. I can't do it. I tried for a couple hours.
Yeah. Those games are made to be played on a controller. And then on 5, they introduced the first person mode. And I saw that as them trying to appeal more to the PC. Because remember, 5 came out a year later for PC.
And better.
We're upset about that. And it was supposed to have the first person view.
I'm actually really glad that they did take the time. And I remember because normally I play Grand Theft Auto on console. I've played virtually every single one, not that I've played through them and beat them, but I always try them out every year. And other than the original GTA, that was when I played it on PC. And then with GTA 5, when they came out on PC, I was very happy with everything. I didn't have to deal with many
issues. Did you play with the first-person perspective? Because I thought that was a little weird.
It was weird.
No, it was third-person, and I used a controller.
Every once in a while, in the gunfights, if it was like a prolonged gunfight, I'd go first-person, but that's pretty much it. It didn't feel right.
Yeah, first-person just doesn't feel like GTA to me.
I was glad they took that year off, because we got like a HD version, the way I remember it. There was like higher resolution on the PC, and that's good. It was worth the wait.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like all those games, the PC port is just such an afterthought. Maybe what's that fun one that's like the wacky version of all this?
Oh, yeah.
With the purple.
Saints Row.
Yeah. Saints Row.
I played a lot of that. Jeez. Out of all these games you guys are talking about, this is like the one that I played a lot.
I played Saints Row. It was one of the superpowers, or one of the aliens.
Yeah, that was Saints Row 3 or 4?
4, I think. Yeah. I played the shit out of that one.
That was crazy. You're like the president, and you go on like
that's
a giant cannon.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, it is so over the top as you can go. You start off as a juice head president. Like you're fucking ripped, giant dude.
Was that one from Idiocracy? Macho Camacho. Oh,
Macho Camacho, yeah. Yeah.
He's the best.
But it has electrolytes.
But, I don't know. Mafia 2 seemed like a really good game, and had I been more into this genre, maybe I would see it through. Maybe I'll continue playing it. I don't know. I just don't have the time right now to commit to something like that. I imagine this is like at least a 20-hour game.
This is a guy who played fucking HOTS for 6 hours yesterday, Bobby?
Yesterday? No. You're talking about Friday?
Friday.
I'm not always playing when you see that on there, though. I just leave the client open, so it looks like I'm playing a lot more.
Sure, buddy. Yeah. I can quit whenever I want.
I did play a lot last week, though. I had to do my placements. I do this every season. They really got to incentivize people to play more ranked, because I don't play any of my ranked games until like 2 days before, and then I've got a few days to play.
2 days before the deadline?
Yeah, before the season resets.
And why?
And then
is that strategic?
No, I just never get around to it. I never want to play ranked, even though the games are so much better there. I played nonstop ranked one day. I had to get my 10 placement games in. They went extremely well, and I placed Masters 1000, which is the highest you can place out of your placements.
That's awesome.
I talked good about job, last dude. Season on another account where I lost my first couple games, and it really adjusts you drastically when you win or lose a game. So if you let's take last season, for example, I lost a game. Well, I played a game. I'm playing with like diamond threes, maybe. I lose that. Next game I load up, I'm playing with diamond fives. Lose that. Next game I'm playing with like plat twos. And then it just gets worse and worse from there if you keep losing. So the exact opposite happened on my main account this season.
You won. I won.
I'm playing with masters. I win again. I'm playing with even higher masters. It gets to the point where I'm about 6 or 7 games in, and I'm starting to play with grandmasters, and I'm on streams and everything. I'm going to bring this up here. I think I got it copy pasted. I was on, there's a streamer named Bam Bam, and he's sometimes he's kind of annoying, but most of the time this guy's fucking hilarious. And I was on his stream, and this is probably the most viewed one, and I had probably the best Uther game of my life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was playing. I was so nervous.
Oh, I was using comms. Right there.
Yeah, there's me on my rainbow unicorn, just killing it. I had some clutch D shields. I was just crushing
on
this
fire,
game.
Huh?
I only played support on all my placement games because I was playing with such high level people that I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna leave the heavy. You know, the heavy carrying to the good players here, and I'll take the support. And I just crushed it. I want to get to one part here and see if it, if I can fast
support
forward.
Support is a very important role, Bobby. When it comes to MOBA, I end up in the entire role team. A lot, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, Uther is my favorite support. Like, he's such an active, aggressive support, and he's really good with stuns. And I don't know. I just played it very well. So I was crushing it. And, of course, like, after I win, I go back in and I watch the replay just to see what people were saying about me, you know, and see if chat was like flaming.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But of course, chat is always going to flame you. There are a few things where they said things. And
about you,
know, it's
you?
Funny.
Negatively, when you had an amazing game?
It might have been the rainbows shit he was shitting out on his unicorn mount.
No, it was. Okay, I think this is a good play I make here. We'll see. But I think it was actually earlier in the game when I was talking over voice comms and I was saying you can go cleanse, which is a really strong one where you can. Oh yeah, this is it. Here it comes. I make a clutch.
Yeah,
you
to commentate what's
he's,
going on here.
Yeah, he's
going
to charge this dude right there. He flips him.
It's
I follow up with
on
a stun.
Right,
yeah, boom. Snap D shield. Bam. So now he can tap and we go re-engage. We win the objective. Yeah, I crushed it right there.
Nice.
Yeah,
it was 4-on-2, and Bobby saved both people.
Yeah,
right?
And I think and we killed their support. So now we go and we take the objective for free. We win that wholeheartedly. So that was a really good one. And then I had no less than 3 like really good D shields.
D shields make them invulnerable.
D shield is just like the paladin bubble.
You know what I love about Bam Bam stream right now compared to yours, Bobby?
the camera. Size of face.
Yeah, you can actually see his face. You have a thing for like being like Bobby has a thing for being like as small as like smaller than the player
abilities.
Icon.
Like, as big as the ability.
Yeah, as big as the ability button. So
it's not that small.
I don't make my webcam that big. What can we learn from watching Bam Bam?
I'm not
stream?
Very exciting to watch like on camera. Like the action is
I
in the game.
You, dude.
I did stream this week. I actually did stream for the first time in a long time.
That's awesome. I'm sorry I missed it. Normally I always drop by.
It wasn't for very long, but I still had a good game. And,
to call to call Bobby's picture a thumbnail would be an insult to thumbs.
But you know, it's funny when you go back and you watch these replays and you see yourself play through someone else's camera, and all the plays that I'm making, they don't look that amazing from this point of view. But when I was in there, I was just so impressed with myself. Boom, clutch
oh
D shield right there. Let me rewind.
Well, maybe that's why you need to stream more.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like you can watch your own replays.
So,
yeah. Bobby, I'm curious. Why don't you play more ranked, dude? Like,
dude, hold on. Can we just acknowledge this clutch D shield right here?
I'm not.
Everyone, watch this. All right, here he goes. That's Greymane right there. He knows he's going to die. He just jumps in because I'm such a good support. He gets the pulse bomb from Tracer, clutch D shield. He dives the support. He dives anyway, but
what
he gets the kill.
What does the D shield do?
He doesn't die.
It's the paladin
I'm that
bubble.
Good. Yeah, it's the paladin
I'm
bubble.
I'm that good.
But like he had faith in you. Like he knew he was going to get bubbles.
And that's what, you know, these are like the best. Well, aside from the people that were in Poland playing in competitions, these are like the highest level player you're going to get at this time. And playing with them was just so incredible. Like they just don't miss and they don't fuck up and they make every right move. My last two games were with Masters players that were low Masters, which is probably where I belong. And just the difference in that type of play was so noticeable.
You see the enthusiasm?
Yeah,
like
I love
this
it,
ego
dude.
Boost
it's
from
so
Bobby.
Good.
This is what happens when you play with hard carries, man. I'm just telling you, that's the way to game.
And Bobby,
the way to game.
You made the right decision here, but like I would have been nervous playing support because don't you main tanks basically?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I would want to play what I'm best at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I know Bam Bam like almost only exclusively plays tanks. He's not good in anything
else. So you
else.
Defaulted it. to
them. Yeah. So it's like you take, plus I can play just about anything. And Uther, I fucking love playing Uther. If you enjoy playing a character, you're going to get good at him. Yeah. That's how it breaks down. If I had later games, I was in there with Dainsky, who plays on a competitive team, and he kept saying like, you should take Malph. And I'm like, I'm not good at Malph. He's like, yeah, just take it. It's the best pick here. So I'm like, all right. And I did well. I did all right. I didn't do as good as if I were to be on another one, but yeah, it fit the composition and countered the other team a lot better. So we ended up winning those games.
Bobby,
but
it's infectious when you talk about this thing, because it's the only time you ever get fired up. It's great.
Well, I really should play more range.
So clutch.
Cricket Soldier says, Bobby is playing, talking about so hots again.
He loves it when I talk about hots.
But so good.
I really should play ranked more, because after I played all my placement games, I was like, okay, fine, done with my placements. I'll go back to playing a bunch of unranked like I have been, and the quality of games are just so much worse. Yeah. First of all, nobody plays unranked in hots. They either play quick match most people play quick match. Very few people play unranked.
And you should be on a team, Bobby. And getting on a team is going to be the best way to do that.
I think
you're going to have so much fun if you get on a team. That would be so much fun, because you get used to other people's play styles, and you don't have to readjust yourself so often.
Yeah, and I would love to play consistently with people, but, you know, that's just tough. My schedule is so erratic, and I don't have a lot of time. You know, I just squeeze in hots whenever I can, and I've accumulated a lot of hours.
Is there a way that Blizzard logs your playtime for the week?
I don't know.
There was in WoW. I'm sure they do. You could do like slash play.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but in WoW, but overall, like the Blizzard interface, you know how Steam does it? You just click on your profile and you see how many hours you put.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to do that in HOTS. I don't think so. Otherwise, like,
what that would your been weekly more... average be?
It's got to be 20 hours.
Gotta yeah. Be. Depends on the week, though.
This is a guy repeatedly says he has no
more
time.
That is more than enough time. Because when I am gaming, I average a little bit over 40 hours every 2 weeks.
I can't imagine a pro practices more than 20 hours a week.
Oh, yeah. They practice a lot more than that. They do that in place of their job.
You don't have to get pro, but you could at least be at
that. I do need to play more ranked, though. Because the quality of game, even if you're not playing with masters, you know, you get people in there who are actually trying really hard, and they're trying to... you know, fill out the composition. They're putting their best foot forward. They're trying to do as much as they possibly can to win.
And I do that every single game you play, Bobby.
Well, I do. Always do. Even if it's
so
quick
you're right there amongst those ranks.
Yeah, dude.
No, but other people don't. See, what I'm saying is if I take that attitude into unranked or quick match, it doesn't matter. First of all, quick match doesn't matter at all. That's just a clown fiesta. You look at the loading screen and you know who's going to win, right? Because
of the team comp. And
Blizzard picks... you know, what heroes go against what other heroes. So it's just completely random.
Bobby, can you read what Cornelius is post there, please?
Says, I got a raging hots on right now.
I love it.
Nice. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll continue to play more ranked. I do want to stream more, but I'm not going to lie. These next 2 weeks are going to be very busy for me. So I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to do a whole lot, but... after that, I have a full week off, but then every time I have a full week off, people are like, hey, let's get together and do something. Let's go to a movie. I'm
be
like,
human. Yeah. Does not compute.
No.
I've asked you this before, but I think you said that you wouldn't want to have HOTS as your job. You wouldn't want to be a streamer, if I remember right.
I couldn't be a streamer. I don't have the personality for a streamer. No one wants to see some old dude.
But have you seen Shroud? Do you know who Shroud is?
Mm-hmm.
He's the best PUBG player. Zero personality. None at all.
Also Cloud9.
Cloud9. And he talks about how, like, he goes, I don't have the personality. He goes, my skills represent. That's what people are here for.
Well, I'm not that skilled either.
And he doesn't even try.
Like, I'm pretty good, but I'm not like...
I saw some pretty good D-Shields there.
Yeah, I did have some clutch D-Shields. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, there's plenty of other really good... players. Plus, HOTS is like a small fish in the whole streamer market. Like, you're not going to make a living streaming HOTS. So,
Do you think those the ones that work out in between sets or whatever?
Heroes of Fitness.
Yeah, like what are they making? What are they?
They're probably doing well. They stream other games other than HOTS.
Oh, gotcha. That's such a good idea. You seen that one, right? Where it's like a couple, and then like
I know
they're
about
waiting.
Them, but I have never watched them personally.
Oh, they do like random workout, not random, but it's a it's like a screen they move, and then they have
they
a
pull
gym.
The green screen back, and then they do a little workout between games. But they also answer fitness questions during the during the game. Like, people ask questions about fitness in the game. And we saw them at BlizzCon. Well, I mean, saw them. I walked past them. And it was like, oh, it's those people. They were both very tall. I didn't realize how tall they were. Holy shit. They were well over 6 feet, both of them.
Damn. The girl, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a big shit. That's a big bitch.
All right. So that's all I got this week. That's been my exciting week. You guys been playing more? It looks like a lot of the same here. Hunt Showdown, how's that been going? Any better?
I just wanted to say that I couldn't get into a game. I tried three times, couldn't get in a game.
Ouch.
So is it giving you an error code or something?
I feel like it's getting worse.
Just the fucking circle. Just fucking loading.
That loading screen takes a long time.
Yeah.
It can I feel like Hunt is a really good game, but right now it's so buggy, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to want to overinvest in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not very... I mean, it's not consistent.
Totally.
And obviously not very rewarding.
I can't recommend it right now for sure. Mm-hmm. But when you do get in a game, it's fucking, there's something there.
Yeah.
They're on the precipice.
It gets your heart racing. It's that awesome. Inner circle PUBG feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
all
fun.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the whole game is blood pumping. I haven't played it in like 2 weeks, so I can't comment on it.
How was the Dead Cells update?
It's good. They introduced a new level, and I think they... It seems like they got rid of a level, but I can't imagine them doing it because they, where the clock tower would be, you fight the boss that you fight after the clock tower. And the clock tower is a really fun level.
So it's like a replacement of it, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe they just moved it around.
I'm assuming they moved it somewhere. Yeah. Because there's like different paths you can take, and I didn't play it much. But
or maybe they just took it out of this build. It'll obviously be back. Yeah.
But yeah, they can't take that back because I had so much fun at that level. It's basically, you know, just climbing up a clock tower like Castlevania. It was really cool. But yeah, they introduced more items, more weapons.
Hopefully, more green stuff. There was a severe lack of green things.
Oh, they changed the building. You know how like the level builds like survival now gives you more HP.
Okay.
And
good. This is one of my biggest complaints.
50, they have now.
So these were like balance updates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. So they used to give, like, first of all, it would give you, like, 50-50-50 brutality, vitality, mm-hmm. and tactics.
Now I imagine red does damage.
Now, well, the vitality gives you plus 60, the brutality gives you 50, and then tactics gives you 40. So they just took 10 away from tactics and put 10 into vitality.
I gotcha.
So that's how they reworked that.
Okay. So yeah, they needed to do that because it was just kind of like... you just go down the line. I'll do one of these, and just spread it out. And that was obviously the way you had to do it. Now it seems like there's some more tactics that go into it.
Yeah, there's definitely more building.
Building, yeah, building your character as you want. Anyway, amazing game. This is up there for this year.
This is my like favorite side-scroller in the past few years. Since Volgar the Viking, this is my new favorite.
Awesome. Highly recommend.
This game?
20, I think. Yeah, 20.
Yeah, 20 bucks.
That's a steal.
Okay.
The developers did get back to me. They were like, we're so busy and we don't speak English. So I was like, all right.
Except for this email. This is all we know how to say in English.
It's really well written. So their community updates are really well written as well. So that's why I thought, hey, you know what?
They have to have translators, I'm sure. Okay. Someone's been playing Into the Breach.
Yeah, that was me. So do you remember this game now, Bobby? third week in a row. So this is from the makers of TL, as they will remind you constantly, because it was such a huge success. It's deceptively, like, you look at it and you're like, this looks like the most simple game I've ever played in my life. And then you start playing it and there's so many things that can happen. Essentially, you're playing a tactics game. You have three characters, and you're going against waves of monsters that come at. And they're actually not trying to kill you, really. They're trying to kill the buildings. And killing the buildings kind of kills you. So if you take too much building damage, you're done for the game. It's very, very deep. There is a lot of different moving parts here. Each mech has a pilot. Each pilot can level up. Each mech can level up. You can put power cores into your mechs to learn new abilities. You can unlock new abilities. You can get new weapons.
And your pilots can die and you can acquire new
Your
pilots.
Pilots can die. Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it off your account.
Oh, cool. How long did you play it?
I think I got past the first island and that's pretty much it.
Okay. If I had... So it's a 9 out of 10 on Steam. If I had a issue with this game, it would be that it is so punishing. One error makes me not want to continue my game.
So you just hit the restart?
A lot of the time, yeah. One error. And it's so easy to make an error because there's unforeseen things. And there's no timer. You can take all the time in the world you want, all the time. And you still make the error and you feel like I feel like such a fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I not know like that my missile was going to push my mech into the building? How did I not know that? Like, and then reset and then start over. For that reason, like, I get frustrated with this. Later on, somebody asked about when I rage. It's probably when I push my mech into my own building because I'm supposed to take
friendly fire.
I'm supposed to take care of my mech and the buildings, and then I hit them together.
Screwball.
Oh my god, it's so frustrating. But the graphics are not going to wow anybody. They're actually fucking dog shit. Sam's like, why are you playing that? Yeah. And I was like,
it's like a Super Nintendo
kind of. This is, I was like, this is how I make games.
FTL didn't have great graphics either.
I liked FTL a lot more. I don't know if it's a good game. If you're into tactics, I'd go into it. I'm making it sound like the micromanaging is more than it actually is, but there is a lot that you can do. There's a lot of different options, but ultimately it all comes down to you making these decisions and seeing how they play out.
Compared to FTL, I think this game is just as challenging, but not as punishing.
See, maybe I don't remember FTL that well, because I feel like this game is more punishing.
Really?
Like, I lose a pilot, and I'm like, why don't I just start over?
Okay, like I said, I only got past the first island.
It gets way worse.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh. And I played a bit more of the second island, like two missions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't get too far into it, but, you know, this game, I know I've seen this game before. Hmm. Like, there was a, the mechs and the bug enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a game that I had on my Android phone. Like in the late 2000s, like 2007 or 8, and it was a tactics game, but it was one on 1v1 players, like
online
player, yeah.
Online. Oh.
And it was, I know I've seen this, and I was like searching over the internet trying to
find it.
I could not find any trace of it.
I think it's hard to find like old mobile games on the web, you know, because like they kind of existed in their own little bubble. If anybody knows what that is, let us know.
Yeah, please. Hit me up on Discord. This has been driving me nuts.
How long are the matches?
Not very.
I know they're not really matches, not very. But
5 minutes,
missions?
5-10 minutes, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. And then you go to the next level.
So no wonder why you can restart so often, because you're not.
Yeah. The thing is, like, there's like maybe like 8 levels on an island, and you can probably get to maybe like 5 or 6 of them before like something happens and you have to finish the level. Like, you cannot get to all the missions on the island.
Yeah, I think it's impossible.
It is impossible. They say it's impossible.
Cool.
So outside of bugs, outside of Planet Exterminator, what other things are you destroying?
Just the bugs.
Yeah.
Just bugs.
And the boss bugs, which you can't drown. And I can't fucking remember that. Because, like, you can drown and drop into holes, and you just push them into holes, and it's so
bugs
easy,
right?
Bugs
are flying, right?
Yeah, some fly, and then the bosses are massive. So even though they're not flying, they can't be pushed. Oh, they could be pushed, but they won't drown and they won't fall in holes, I don't think.
But the good thing is your mech can't drown in water either.
Right. It just can't attack. Yeah. It's just little things like that. Like just remembering all these things. Lightning strikes will kill your mech outright, and you just got to fucking avoid the lightning. But you just push your guy into the fucking light. All right, let's go. I can recommend it for sure. It's not very expensive. If you want a thinking man's game... It's a puzzle game. That's basically what it comes down to.
$15.
Yep. Downwell. I kept the PC Gamer guys on their podcast. CMS. Always talk about this. Game. Yeah, it looks like it. And it's from Devolver Digital.
Did we talk about this? Pretty sure we did.
Mm-hmm. This has come up many times. I think I brought this up for the first time years ago.
Yeah. But had you played it, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the game's only $3.
You talked about this before, Amelia.
I played it on mobile. I've never played it on PC.
Oh.
So I played it on PC and expecting it to be like way, way better. Played it with the controller and stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty much the same thing.
Is this a mobile corner game?
I actually maybe liked it better on the cell phone, actually. Maybe It was just that I was burnt out on it already, and I knew what it was doing. So
the premise is you're falling down a well, and you shoot down the well.
Yeah.
And you get various power upgrades.
You've got these, like, fancy shoes that... Mm-hmm.
That shoot. Mm-hmm. You got gun boots, basically.
Okay.
But the whole premise is you want to get combos, so you don't want to touch rock.
Okay.
You want to either jump on their heads or shoot them to stay levitated to get these combos. And what's great about, probably the best thing about this game, is that if you have a combo going and you go into the next level, the combo continues. Like, no game does that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's
really
cool.
Yeah. And you can, so you can get it really high. It's, you know, it's $3. It's fun. But I've already played so much on the phone that I was, I thought it was going to be better. But it pretty much looks like a Game Boy game, like you said.
I have a quick question. Since you said the combos continue when you transition over to a new level,
yeah.
I don't know how well you guys know Marvel versus Capcom or anything mm-hmm. like
oh,
that.
Yeah, totally.
Is it possible that when you kill someone and then when somebody else jumps back in, you could continue that combo?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, when they're dead, you respawn that quick and, like, the
so
next
So she's saying,
player?
Like, when you kill one character, another character comes
not,
in the same
not when
combo?
You swap. Not when you swap.
No, right. Yeah. But you kill one? Really?
Yeah.
You can continue the combo on the new person that
yeah,
just came
the
in?
The other person, they usually come in with, like, a flying kick or something.
Right.
Just time that.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And then if you hit two of them at the same time, then your combo is double,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I was just watching Justin Wong today, his comeback of... so he had won 9 years in a row, Evo. 9 years in a row of being number one.
Mm-hmm.
3 years, couldn't do it. 4 years, something like that. And then I watched a video of his comeback, like when he made number one again. Dude, this guy, he's like a fat Asian dude. He ran, tripped, and just rolled in happiness because he got the cut. Everybody's going, Justin.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, what a great story. It's pretty cool. Justin Wong, one of the best Street Fighter players ever.
Every time I see this game, I think of a podcast I used to listen to called Idle Thumbs, and they had someone wrote in because they had mentioned, like, I wonder if anyone's ever hooked up like a system to a movie projector screen, and some guy who worked at a movie theater said, oh yeah, I hooked up my shit. It's actually pretty easy. And I used to play this game on like in between showings of movies, I'd play this in a theater. So
that's
I always
cool.
think of this just like IMAX.
Bobby, do you remember that I had my my projector hooked up to my PC at the 900 F Street apartments?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my screen was 13 feet wide.
Yeah, I had a projector for a long time, too, at my apartment complex. You just can't get very good contrast ratio. It's insane how much cheaper and more efficient, how much better projectors get. Like, even at my work, we bought some projectors 2.5 years ago, and we had to get more of them. And I'm like, well, these ones are working out great. Let's get more of them. I call up the sales guy, and, you know, we obviously can't get that model anymore. We can get a better one for $125 cheaper per projector. And that's just, I've owned projectors all my life until I moved into
where you live now.
Where I live now, and that's I've spent $2,000 on a 800x6 or a 1024x800 or whatever the resolution is projector, 1024x768, and then I've spent $500 on a 1080p projector, and you know it gets better. The contrast ratio, the lumens, like projectors, just do not hold value at all.
Mm-hmm.
They get so much better.
And if you have the situation for it, I don't think most people will go into a new living space and like, can I get a projector in here? That's not one of the first things mm-hmm. they think of. But if you think about it, I think personally, they're way better than TVs. Way better. Like, infinitely better. You get this gigantic screen. You're getting crazy resolution. It's not good to play games on.
Well, the contrast ratio isn't going to be as good. It's more susceptible to light, and you will eventually have to replace the bulb. They will dim, and eventually the projector will just start dimming in general as well.
That's one of the things when I say, like, can we get a projector in here? One of the things is you need to black out the room mm-hmm. if you want it. So that's one of the things. You also need a giant spacious wall, and you need to like set it back. There's a whole bunch of things mm-hmm. of like what, but if you have the ideal setup, I was playing TF2 on a 13-foot screen. It was fucking awesome. Only for the novelty of it. But I would play puzzle games on there and like different movies. That's what it was really for. It was for the movies mm-hmm. and porn. Jesus Christ, the porn.
All right, let's talk about some news. So we already talked about the Far Cry video on Amazon, but the Division 2, what's this doing in here? What's
new? Ubisoft is Ubisoft, right? Yeah. They're making the Division 2. It's good and bad news because they're instead of like revamping the Division 1, which kind of burnt out really quickly, they're just going to make another Division. That's basically all said. I mean, they just announced it. There's really no information other than they're making the Division 2.
It had a lot of potential, for sure.
Well, the first one was like an open world game. It wasn't subscription based, right?
No.
One fee you get in. And usually with a game like that, they support it with updates. Maybe they have some DLC, but that's surprising they would just come out with a sequel.
Hopefully they learned from the first one and this one's better. Like I said, the first one had a ton of potential. People are still playing it.
I think it just came out with a new update like last month.
You know, I talked to someone who was still playing the first Division and saying it was really good. They're playing on a console, so you know, not the PC one. But Noober, what's up, man? Thanks for the $10. I can't read that. Woo-hoo! It's too small, but I'll look it up.
Thank you so much, Noober.
Thanks, buddy.
It probably says just cuz. Because why not?
Or classic, just because. Classic Noober.
Noober, you're the best. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyone interested in Division 2?
No.
Yeah, I'll play it.
About as interested as I am in Anthem.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a demo, like a playable demo, right? Because there was on the first one. That's how I played it.
That's all I played of the first one, too. Yeah. And that was, I guess, enough for me.
Yeah, okay. Noober says, because reasons. You were close, Chi.
Oh, yeah.
You know him too well.
That's true.
All right.
Those reasons are me.
The other bit of news I feel like we have to bring up is there was a big meeting between the White House, Trump, some people in Washington, and it seemed like a lot of CEOs of big video game companies on the subject of video game violence. So apparently this is a thing again.
Well, it was a lot of the guys in the video game business, but also detractors. So the people that run the anti-violence and video game whatever organizations.
Yeah.
So they had both camps there to talk about this. I think Trump, so he had that like some strange meeting after that shooting in Florida at the school where a bunch of like victims from school shootings and mass shootings all talked to him. You know, did you guys see that? And he was holding his notes backwards and you could read his notes. And the note said, like, we hear you. And, like, it was, like, pre-setup stuff.
No.
Yeah, so like, he's listening to, like, kind of like a town hall setup of all these people who had lost people. And they're all, like, you know, some people are getting upset. They're
super emotional.
Yeah, red.
Upset
red
about in the gun face. Laws.
He's like, why are people dying? You know, like, this fucking bullshit or whatever. One guy screamed out. And you can see him just nodding with... And he's holding his notes, and his notes are backwards. And there's some just like
generic,
just like things to say. Yeah. And he's just holding them back. It's like the worst thing ever, dude. And anyway, I think their answer to this or to that is saying going back to the video games and violence cause violence in people.
This is like I think the third major time it's come up in video games. Like first one was like a Columbine. They thought like Doom was making kids kill kids.
Mm. Yeah, those kids played a lot of Doom.
It's so fucked up and not okay that they're trying to put so much emphasis on blaming the violence in video games. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, whenever I had to write a school report on anything, like if you know how they give you like free will, like open. Open topic papers to write. And I always would write about whether or not video game violence was a real thing.
Right.
And in terms of it translating into
real violence.
And there was never anything conclusive and about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know, I feel very strongly about defending how it doesn't translate. I think there are so many other factors what makes a murder. And the video game violence, it's unfortunate that they kind of, you know, hone in and target it.
I mean, just to sum it up really quick, people are playing video games in every country and there's not mass shootings in every country. So there you go.
Well, what's strange to me is that I feel like there's less violent video games now than there's ever been, or at least that's not the biggest focus. I mean, we've had such great examples of games that are not, that don't rely on violence and yet are really good and people really enjoy them. Maybe they have some violence in them, but that's not the focus of it. For a while there, you know, back in the 90s, I could totally see this argument. I could understand it a little bit more because all the popular games were Doom, you know, they were all shooters. Right. That's what all it was about, was
gory
shooting.
Ones at that.
Yeah.
Too.
And it was all about blood and guts. And now I feel like we've found a lot more directions to take video games in. So having this argument come up now just seems a little strange. I don't know. As someone who's played video games like a lot in the last 20 years, then that's the change that I've noticed. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a responsibility.
Being so violent too, Bobby. You come in here, you just punch everybody. It's not cool, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all those
dropping
video games
shit on my head. I'm sick of it.
That hasn't happened yet, so don't jinx it. We got a lot less hanging here. This
Batman is just
fell,
itching
so.
To fall
yeah,
on
Batman's
me.
Batman's hovering over Chi.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
got, he's like breathing down my neck.
He's got detective mode on, and he's yeah. hanging from a gargoyle.
He's like one of those portraits where the eyes follow you yeah. no matter where you go in the room. Yeah. It's pretty yeah. intense.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's some responsibility that we need to take, you know, developers, publishers, whatever, when it comes to violence and sex and gratuitous stuff. Like, yeah, you know, you got to use your brain and be a little sensitive in some areas about this. But yeah, for the most part, I think I'm with everybody else that this isn't the real problem. This is why we're having mass shootings.
I will say that the ESRB is complete bullshit. Like, it's not enforced at all.
Yeah.
It's- like...
a self-regulating video game industry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people just like.
Well,
how many copies of GTA 5 were for sold to people like under 15? Like mm-hmm. probably yeah. half of them. Yeah. Like a ridiculous, and that's not mm-hmm. okay. I don't think that's okay. But
yeah, that's like a rated.
That's neither
R
here nor there.
Like yeah. GTA 5, like for a game, that would be like a rated R movie. So yeah, that it does seem weird to me that. Probably the majority of people, I don't have the statistics here, but I'm guessing, you know, there's a lot of kids playing that game. And that's probably, I mean, they're saying all sorts of racial slurs. Like, there's a lot of adults.
They're also listening to very, you know, vulgar music and can Google anything that they possibly fathom.
Yeah, I mean, the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
And there's just, and watching rated R movies, if they're playing horrible video games, they're probably doing all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's call it what it is. This is just to take away pressure from the guns and mental illness.
What if you could only have guns or violent video games? How about that?
What?
What if each person had to make a choice? I can own guns or violent video games.
Oh, man.
I think...
obviously, we all pick...
Video
games.
Video yeah. games.
Except for maybe Crazy Bobby.
That's a tough call. As the only gun owner here, I have been thinking about selling my guns just because I think the last time I went to the range was, oh my God, 7 years ago? It was the last time I went to a gun range?
I went to the range and I've shot off a couple different guns and it was fun, but it's not as fun as playing a video game. Like there's like mm-hmm. not, and like, I'm like, okay, cool. I
not
almost
as fun as
hit my target.
A fun game, a fun yeah. video game.
But I mean, yeah, that's yeah. true.
You know, but hunting I think is a little more fun than
oh,
just going
sure.
to a ranch. But you know, and there's also the aspect of protecting your house. And I thought about it. Like if I were to fire my gun in my condo, that would go through like seven walls. Right?
That would,
like one round. Yeah, dude. Like I would kill my neighbor. Like
that's not true. All your walls are concrete, dude. It wouldn't go through any.
One of them's concrete. Two of them in my ceiling are concrete in the floor. Yeah. No, but there's a lot of.
Well, just make sure the bad guy stands between you and the concrete wall. Duh. Could you strafe right, please? Thank
but
you.
I was thinking about it. I could probably make $1,000 off my guns. That's a good amount of money.
Hey, I'll
for something
sell my
that's just sitting in my
and
closet.
And you could sell your
yeah.
gun.
You know, yeah. I've taken three first dates to a gun range. That's never worked
that
out.
That happened, yeah. That
I wouldn't imagine,
actually,
dude. That was a weird move, dude.
Well, no, like, I went
they've
to...
agreed to it. It's not like, hey, we're going
no,
somewhere
no,
special.
No, yeah. no.
I don't know. That's kind of cool. That's weird. Original. What are you talking about? A gun range?
Okay, wait. I'm a girl who has been taken to a gun range, and it was
on
fun.
On a first date?
Yeah.
Was it a first date?
I don't think it was a first date, but it was like one of the earlier dates. And it's not the action of going to the gun range that affects the date. It's all about the person, like all in all. Like, shooting guns is not going to change someone's opinion of you. They just didn't like you, Minnie. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah. Just kidding.
No, I think that's a good move. So you take a girl to a gun range, and then you get to do that move where you're like, here, this is how you hold it, and you put your arms around her. That's an easy move, right? It's awkward though because you do have
like the headphones on. It's not really intimate.
Yeah. Right.
You know, a cup of coffee is just fine.
Well, let's be honest too. We live in Southern California. Like, it's a little different than people who are living in other parts of the world. Like, our opinions on guns are very different. Like, when we had Lab Monkey come out and visit us, and we had a conversation on guns, in Texas they have a completely different opinion. The culture is different.
Yeah, completely. His friend Austin was like, I carry a gun everywhere I go, because he has a conceal and carry or whatever permit. And the lady next to us was like at the table at the restaurant, she was like, got all nervous. And she's like, he's like, not right now, ma'am, when I'm home in Texas. And dude, it was like almost like an issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in video games, I think guns are perfectly fine. Why not?
It's a moot point to talk about this.
Yeah.
There's no conclusive evidence.
Yeah.
If anything, it probably helps blow off steam.
Well, it feels very weird that we're having this discussion in 2018.
Yeah. It does.
It's like a blast from the back. What was the guy that was all gung-ho about shutting this shit down? You know his name. Jack Thompson. Yeah, that dude. Where's he at these days?
I do not know this name.
Yeah, I don't know who Jack Thompson is. Oh, Lord. Let me see. Jack Thompson.
Oh, you type in Jack and first thing comes
the
up.
The first thing Thompson. That comes up. Activist. Yes, this fucking dude. Yeah.
He's holding a copy of Grand Theft Auto, dude.
Yeah.
That's his Google picture.
Yeah, look him up later. That's what he was all about.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, was shutting down violent video games. Oh, he was an extremist.
It's just a platform.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some hardware. Emilio, you've got...
Wait, are we moving on to hardware? Can we still talk about some good news outside of like... how about Valve making video games again?
Oh, yeah. And then
this is such a big deal.
I could have sworn I put this on there.
Lord Gaben officially announced from the word of, you know, from words of his mouth. They're officially...
The words from his mouth.
Yes.
I hate how much
his with a capital H. Anyways, officially making games again, shipping and releasing. They're currently working on outside of Artifact, they're working on a single-player game, so... Here, you heard it first, DLG podcast, Ricochet 2, guys.
I will believe it when I see it.
Okay.
See, there's...
What do you mean? Are you really saying that they're not working on a single-player game?
Valve is working on a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean they're going to release it, all right? Look at the way that Valve operates right now. They are completely hands-off with everything that they do. If they're going to make a game...
Releasing and shipping games.
If they're going to make a game, they're taking zero risks on it. It's probably going to be something really generic and free-to-play.
No,
it's not going to be anything...
Read the article. So what they're saying is basically they're jealous of Nintendo because when who's the Nintendo guy, the Japanese
Shigeru
guy?
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, Miyamoto is this is an excerpt from the article. When he's thinking about the new market Mario, he's not just thinking about the game. He's thinking about the inputs, right? Like, what kind of controller am I going to be holding when I make this game, right? So because they're making it for their own peripherals, right? Like, the game comes out and it matches up so perfectly. And he said they were jealous of this, and they realized that they have the same thing with the Vive. They can make hardware and software at the same time. So they have three revolutionary, VR games coming out that are supposed to be like completely different. So he's stoked on that. And then he says they're working on a 100% single player, you know, Half-Life.
I think we're just going to be set up for disappointment here. I hate to be super negative about this.
You're being super negative, Bobby.
I'm going to use an old Dave Attell joke.
Dave Attell,
you remember him? Yes. He said, remember when you were young and you think your dad's a superhero, then you grow up and you realize he's just a drunk who wears a cape? That's what Valve is. Like, we have idolized Valve for so long that we don't have a realistic view of what they are now.
Disagree. They have 100% batting average, dude.
What, in video games?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 15
doesn't
years
matter.
Ago. Like
doesn't
15, matter. A lot's changed in 15 years. You know how hard it is to make a successful game these days?
And the initial reviews on Artifact is that it's stellar, I've read.
All right, we'll see. I will believe it when I see it.
All right, well.
It's still another card game, though.
Well, the expectations are
high. Valve doesn't even update Steam anymore. Who uses Steam Group? Who uses anything on Steam? Who gives a shit about Steam other than to load up and buy your games? Like,
you're level 800 on Steam, Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was. But, and even I've lost interest in that.
This is like the Monopoly guy saying, I hate property.
No, even my compulsive behavior isn't enough. Like, who gives a shit about Steam anymore? Like, why
everyone.
Are we
playing? Dude, this Bobby. Is how we play games. This is where we buy all our games.
But basically, all it is what Bobby's saying, is a place to buy and load video games. Like, there's nothing.
We buy games on there, we load video
the
games.
The place.
It is, okay, the place, but still nothing.
You take it for granted because we use it every day. It's essential to PC gaming.
It's not.
It is like, PC gaming.
Before Steam, PC gaming was still PC gaming. You just popped in a disc.
Valve is not what we think it is anymore. They were groundbreaking at the time. They did some really amazing things, and they just... I don't think people have realized how far behind Valve is falling right now. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, the business model hasn't changed in way too long.
I mean, Steam Groups, nobody uses them anymore. The whole, they updated their wish list. That's the biggest update we've seen to the Steam platform recently. It doesn't do anything except offer us games that we buy, sales, whatever. I mean, it's become a household brand, but that's about it.
It's almost like... The way I perceive Steam, it's the ultimate user interface PC gaming.
It's only the biggest thing in PC gaming. That's all.
I wouldn't say that's the all. Ultimate. It's the best right now, but it's
The ultimate and the best are synonyms.
What I'm saying is the best right now, but it's not as good as it can be.
Correct.
I know.
Nothing ever is.
But it hasn't changed.
It's not
going to
be perfect.
But then, it's still exceedingly better than anything... Origin, Blizzard has to offer. Blizzard can't even tell me how long I played my games this week.
So what are you saying, Bobby? So they're not going
to
make games? Artifact's going
to...
Do you believe Artifact's going to come out?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see Artifact.
Okay,
well,
and then the VR games?
Who cares about VR? Like... 15% of PC
Bobby,
gamers play.
What if it's a killer app?
Bobby's going to be the first to buy.
What if it's a killer app?
This a VR.
It's good. I don't know. We'll see.
VR, I think VR.
And then the single player, you say, no way it's coming out. And if it does come out, it's going to suck.
I'm excited for VR because when I'm an old lady, I will be playing the shit out of VR.
When?
Probably, until I am, when I'm on my deathbed, I will have, some element of gaming.
He's implying
you're
old right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I already said it, older, old lady. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens, but Valve, they're always working on something. They're always very secretive about it. They've always got a lot of things going on. Remember,
and they
Steam
always
machines?
Knock it out of the park.
Steam controller?
And it's... Okay. Here's the thing. Bobby's number one game. Isn't it Left 4 Dead 2?
Hours played? Yeah, probably. On Steam.
Yeah. Hmm. just the most played game ever.
Also, Steam did that.
On the system that he's on every day.
Steam was doing that Skyrim mod thing where they want to charge for Skyrim mods, and that completely got shut down within 2 weeks.
The what? Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, they make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
You just said they made 100% batting average.
I meant on games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have made mistakes, and they have apologized for making dumb
mistakes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're a company. They make mistakes, of course.
Whatever they make, I'm sure they'll sell just off a name alone, because people are like, oh, Valve, okay, I'll buy it. It's got to be good. And then a lot of people will convince themselves that it is good, even though maybe it's not. But it's just, look at how many games are coming out, AAA games that are coming out and failing. Look at Mafia 3, and we talked about how little success that had. Like, it's hard to make a game. It's just really hard to make a successful game that runs well and that people like. And what... I mean, it's been, the last game Valve has released is what, 2008? Portal 2, which is pretty much a remake of Portal 1.
But it was still an A+.
Yeah.
Type
of, great game.
You know.
And the best co-op experience to date, in my opinion.
Lopponius is saying something very interesting in Twitch chat. He says, Valve is the girl fantasy from high school. She was super hot before, and now she is pregnant eating chicken out of a bucket. I think that's pretty hot.
It's still hot.
It's still hot.
In its own way.
I don't agree.
Pregnant eating chicken. I don't know.
Chicken eating chicken out of a bucket is delicious.
Yeah,
that is the life.
Pregnant fat lady eating chicken out of a bucket is not sexy.
That is
at all.
Somebody's wife, and that is somebody's child.
She probably has a baby daddy, and that's it.
That's horrible. That's discrimination.
Who am I discriminating against?
Beautiful pregnant women who have kids.
I never said they're
your mom. I bet your mom ate chicken out of a bucket when she was having you.
Moving on.
Probably. She's not a beautiful lady.
Oh my
gosh. So she's right
savage.
Up the window on that one.
Minnie. Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up for news. Let's talk about some hardware. So what's been going on with your Wi-Fi issues, Emilio?
So it wasn't really my Wi-Fi. Luckily, I have a friend, B, who works at our local internet ISP. I can't even say it the long way right now. So hungover. He works there. So he was able to do a test of my house from his computer. And he saw that my TX levels were low. I don't know what the fuck that means. That means he said that it's like how much their system can see our house. And it was fine before. But so anyway, it turned out not being the Wi-Fi. It was my connection to the ISP. So he said you need a TX booster. So he brought that over. And basically, you just unscrew the cable, the one that comes out of the wall, and you put the coaxial. And there's this thing. It's male-male. And you put it on one side, and screw it into the back of the Wi-Fi. You restart the thing, and then, boom, I went from 20 down to 280 down.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
With one little thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was on Wi-Fi. When I still thought that it was Wi-Fi, I didn't think it was Wi-Fi because, like, I even talked to Bobby. Like, I had super strong signal strength, and, like, it didn't show. But anyway, I bought this thing that Mayo's been talking about where you plug your router right into the wall, socket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you put another one, and it basically turns your house into a LAN. But I was going, because of our setup here in the studio, there's no sockets near where we have the thing. So I had to go through a extension cord, and Nabi is like, That's not going to work. You're killing it has to be in the walls for it to work. And if you look, our power cable's barely, this whole shit, if somebody sneezed, everything goes down.
Oh, that's not good.
You seen it, Bobby?
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the cord that keeps us up and running is falling over harder than Batman. Right now,
yeah, need a couple zip ties on that one.
Yeah, but it does work. But my it wasn't the signal strength. It was this thing. So if you have shitty internet, have them do a test, and you might need this booster thing because it totally fucking worked.
It's convenient that Nabi is able to come out and help you, but totally. I kind of feel for the common cable consumer who doesn't
we'll
have the extra
June-ish.
Hands. No, yeah. And it's like...
Totally.
And then, like, you know, they go through how many different steps, how many... Until they
realize... Being on
realize,
the phone for, like, 2 hours?
Oh, it's your TX booster. Yeah. Exactly. So
all you, lame people are going to have to go through that way, but I'm special.
All right, let's take some listener questions here. First one coming from Warconius. And he says, what is your rage quit trigger? I'll quit a game immediately and never touch it again if
you
it has bad game mechanics.
Epic try hard face asked. Sorry.
Not Warconius.
Let him finish next time and then we'll correct you.
Sorry.
Said it.
Okay.
All right.
Bobby just pulled over into a ditch.
All right. Coming from Epic Tryhard Face, he says, what is your rage quit trigger? I'll quit a game immediately and never touch it again if it has bad game mechanics. For example, stealth games with psychic security guards or shooters that act like a pebble is an impenetrable wall. I can relate to both of those. I mean, I talked about on The Long Dark how there was a really weird hitbox on a wolf. I threw a rock right at it and didn't register. That's kind of frustrating. I don't know. I'm from the age of games where you just didn't blame the game, you know? Like, I always think, I still have this going into games. I always think that something I'm doing or not doing correctly that is making it not work and like it's something that I need to fix or figure out. So I don't know. I don't get frustrated quickly with games, even if there is technical issues like that.
I think it's very, and I can concur with you in that, it's very little that the game makes me rage quit and or tilt. And if and even if it's buggy, it's almost one of those things like, oh shit, okay, well, you know, what can you do? And when it comes to rage quitting, for me, it's more of a social level. It's people that make me rage quit, not necessarily the game. I don't know if this question is particular to the game itself. What makes me rage quit? It's rare that I rage quit and I just, like, you know, just drop the game and walk away. But if I do, it's because someone's not listening. If I'm trying to communicate and they're deliberately not communicating back or being receptive at all, then I'll just be like, fuck this, you're not fun to play with. Bye.
I think that's it. Server issues for me. But that's not really gameplay, but as a gameplay mechanic, I remember playing Homefront, the first one, and enemies would spawn where I could see, like behind a truck, where I know I can see both sides of the truck, but they spawn like just behind the truck, and they just keep on flowing out from behind of a truck, or like somebody spawning like inside of a closet.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like like, are you burrowing out of the ground?
You made a truck. You could have made a hole, like a wall, or I mean, a door that they could have been coming out of something.
That game just kind of like just totally threw me out of immersion. I was like, I can't continue playing this game.
Yeah. For me, it's like I was saying earlier with Into the Breach. If you give me a game where I can show my own stupidity and then show me over and over and over that I'm stupid, I don't rage quit as so much as my ego can't take it and I slowly lose
interest,
enthusiasm.
See, that's different for me, because rage quitting is me literally alt-F4ing and like walking away.
It's never
like,
happened.
Really?
I don't think.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't get upset.
I do.
We know. Mm-hmm.
Don't play with me, guys. I do not recommend playing video games with me.
Our next question from Atrocious asks, what do you think about the news about Fortnite coming to the mobile and being cross-play and cross-progression between all platforms? In my opinion, it's a pretty big deal, and other developers may follow suit if it's a success.
That's awesome. About fucking time, in my opinion, that somebody's trying.
It's going to happen to everything. Computers, consoles, mobile, it's all coming together in almost every game eventually.
From what I heard, Xbox One isn't playing nice with this thing.
They're not?
Yeah, from what I hear. I think like PlayStation 4 is doing it, and of course PC is going to be doing it. Mobile is going to be doing it, but Xbox One doesn't want to.
Gee, have you tried it yet? Do you have any interest in
Fortnite? I don't even have any interest to try Fortnite.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of people stream it, and obviously it's a very fun game from what I hear.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I don't have the space to try it right now. I'm just too hyper-competitive. It doesn't seem to fit my gaming.
It's overtaken PUBG, I think, in concurrent players. But
I'm not interested.
It's only because it's free, I think. It's not a better game. Well, I don't know. It's all subjective.
I don't know. I've never played it. No interest either.
Anyway, as far as this happening, it's like a no duh. Like, it's going to happen. They're just not first, but for a game this size. And it's so casual that it works. You can totally play it on your phone. I think you're going to get destroyed by anybody on a PC.
Doesn't seem like the best platform now.
No, but it's just more fodder for the killing, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't mind because I'm going to blow
when
their heads off.
When I play Call of Duty, no lie, like when I play Call of Duty, I think it was Xbox 360, I had the mouse and keyboard attachment. I forgot what they're called. Not illegal, but still not necessarily.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Because I wasn't going to play a shooter with controller. And I'm not even the type of person who's like, oh, I need to get top frags or stuff like that. It's just like, I need to enjoy. You know, a lot of people were playing at the time. I think it was Modern Warfare. And I wanted to play with my friends. And a controller would make me rage quit. Actually, that's going to tag on to.
And how much better were you than the competition? Was it markedly? Is that a word? Different? Like,
oh, yeah. Remarkable. Yeah. Like, way better than what I would have been with the controller.
Right.
Hell yeah.
No.
Make it fair.
I'm saying how much better were you than the competition than you would? Did you feel like you had an advantage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Indubitably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. No shame. Sorry. In the mouse and keyboard game.
All right. Skorm mentioned something, but we already talked about it, talking about Valve releasing Artifact and also other games. We went over that. I think you know our feelings about that. Shadow Master. Shadow Master asks, what tutorials in video games do you hate and what games do you enjoy the tutorials? Well, we talked about this a lot last week.
Yeah, it's been coming up. I think maybe that's where he got this from. But I don't know. We've talked about it a lot. There's some you should have to be able to choose. That's what I say.
A skippable tutorial.
A skippable is the best one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said last week, and I'll say it again, Blood Dragon had a good tutorial just because they lampshaded it and they kind of made it seem a little ridiculous. The whole, like, you know, press C to crouch and this is how you fire your gun. You know, they had fun with it. And sometimes games can do that. But yeah, I agree. A skippable tutorial is definitely preferable.
I like tutorials that don't feel like tutorials. I like tutorials like
first level.
You know, like Metal Gear Solid 5 did it really well, where it's just like big bang. Like, you know, you're just going in there and then and really just learning as you go, and it just feels like you're just pushing through the opening of the story.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
That's the best. Well, either that or being able to choose. One of the two.
I think there's a requirement. I know with games on Xbox One, you have to have achievements. That's like something Xbox requires if you want to have a game on their platform. I think tutorials are probably the same thing. Like you have to have a tutorial if you want your game to be released on Xbox. So I don't think it's a choice by the developer a lot of times. But a game that I revisited not too long ago, what's the one that we always talk about? Great story, very underrated. Also a project, Spec Ops. Spec Ops: The Line.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good example of how they integrated the story into the tutorial. So while there's dialogue going on and you're kind of learning about this world and the characters and getting acquainted with them, you're doing all the trivial bullshit stuff like this is how you hop over a wall, this is how you crouch. You know, you're getting that out of the way, but also getting the introduction to the story in at the same time.
If you haven't played Spec Ops, you spend $5, trust me.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely highly recommend. Did you guys ever play Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox?
I know going back. No,
that's a 3D one, right?
Yeah. So this one, I think, had the perfect tutorial. If you guys haven't heard much about this game, it's notoriously difficult.
Right?
And what the tutorial is you're running, just running, start the game, running off, and then these shurikens are thrown to you. They land on the ground, they land on the wall, and you can just like pick them up. Like, and then you read the scroll, and they'll tell you like press A to jump, but you don't need to. You can just run right by these things.
Oh, okay.
Just who cares? I want to start fighting things.
Right.
And then you get into your first fight. It's like two ninjas.
Yeah.
That's it. Like it's a 15-second fight. This is how you fight and figure it out. And then after that, the game is just like figure it out, fucker.
It's just good luck.
Yeah.
This game is brutal. But that had like the perfect tutorial. An extremely difficult game, just like Dark Souls. Dark Souls didn't have a tutorial, right?
No, like, they at least show you the button commands. I believe that you.
I don't know.
I think in the beginning there is a small one. I would not be surprised if they did. There is a small.
Maybe they kind of ease you into it with like a real easy starting area.
Like they give you different. And I know with Dark Souls 3, you start out in an area, and there are these different rooms that put you into different scenarios, like jumping over certain platforms and killing somebody from behind, killing a range.
I have the
enemy.
Shittiest memory. So I don't remember any of that.
So it lets you practice a little bit of everything.
Could you skip past that, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember that
They're
part
like caverns.
All.
There were these little caverns that you just walked into.
Oh, I do remember now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dark Souls 2?
Three.
Okay.
I didn't play three.
So Minnie loves difficult games, and I was like, so what do you think of Dark Souls? He's never played one.
Never played it?
It's crazy.
So good.
Played like very little of them, like 20 minutes maybe.
So
good. I don't think most people have just played one Dark Souls game. Though, like if you play Dark Souls, you end
play
up playing
Dark Souls,
all of them.
Yeah.
I only ever beat one, but I've played them all.
This, by the way, Ninja Gaiden 2, favorite game of all time.
What?
All time.
Ninja Gaiden 2 from Nintendo?
No.
Or Xbox?
Xbox 360.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know they made
Play Dark Souls 3 and get back to me, dude.
I'll try it.
And The Surge, which you're going to play off my account, right?
I definitely want to try that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, next question coming from Atrocious. You have been kidnapped. You can call one fictional character to make a rescue attempt. Who do you pick?
So I was thinking about this and I'm like fucking Lara Croft, right? But like, no, because I'm not good looking or sweet or cool enough to fucking bang her if I meet her. Like, cool, she's a hot chick. Hey, oh, cool, we're in a helicopter. It's all awkward.
She's
I'm
also
like,
not much of a rescuer. She's kind of like a self rescuer.
Yeah, of her own self.
Yeah.
But she is hot as fuck, so great. I get to look at a pretty girl. So it doesn't make sense because I wouldn't be able to close the deal. Okay. Plus, I have a lovely girlfriend. Fucking bullshit.
Well, on the contrary, I would say Kratos probably, but he's not a PC gamer. I was gonna say The Rock, but he's actually real. Also
not
so
much of a savior. Kratos.
And also, Chi.
But no, but that's the thing. He'll go in there and get shit done.
Chi. And he has the ashes of his dead kid and wife on his skin. If you touch him, you're touching their ashes. Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
Whatever. I mean, he's probably decapitating, like, you know, hydras and doing all this, like, crazy shit. Like, I just want to, like, I don't know.
It would be awesome to watch those chains in action in real life. Uh-huh. Like, him killing anything with that. A field mouse. You're
and
like,
then isn't
the
God
fuck?
Of War 3 coming out this month, too? I know it's a console title, but...
God of War 3? Isn't that... Hasn't that
I'm
been
not
out?
A 3. The new God of War.
Four?
What's it called?
I don't know.
It's not, I don't think they tagged a number onto it.
Okay.
Bobby, do you have something for this?
Wait, it is God of War 3, isn't it?
I can't think of anything that creative. I don't know. Mario? He's good at that, right?
You'd be the princess in a castle. Yep.
It is God of War 3.
See, I think,
I'd always
think
be in another
Spider-Man
castle.
For me.
He's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to have like a little romantic swing through the city after he saves
teenage
you.
Boy, though? That's
No, not the teenage one. The college one.
Oh, the college one. Oh, college sorry. One, yeah. I would pick 2-pound baby.
Yeah, 3 is
baby
out.
Spider-Man.
What?
What? You can choose whatever Spider-Man you want, man.
It's technically number 4, I think.
All right. Did we get everyone on that?
Yeah, well, I wanted my real answer, but I can't really think. Somebody that would give me money and also, so who's that? A Scrooge McDuck, maybe?
Also not much of a savior.
Uh-uh.
All right, whatever. You can choose whoever you want.
All right, last question coming from Todd Monster. Who are some of your favorite streamers? So I don't really follow streamers. Like, I just watch Heroes of the Storm streams. It's very rare that I will go outside of that game and watch a streamer. When they were doing this cross promotional thing where they had some League of Legends players playing Heroes of the Storm doing this challenge, it was like raising money for a good cause and also bringing some attention to the game. Yeah, it was a great little event. I got acquainted with some League of Legends streamers. One of them that I really liked was Dyrus. Was his name. He's very low key. He's very, and he's not very excitable. I think he used to play for TSM like competitively or some group. But I really enjoyed watching him play HOTS and he did very well. So every now and then I'll go and watch him play some League of Legends, when I'm interested in that game. But other than that, I don't know.
So fellow robot is your favorite streamer?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. Good. I don't really watch. I can't get into
I like the guy that doesn't
famous.
Smile. I'll take that guy.
Because no, so many streamers are just very...
Over the
they're
top.
Playing to a younger audience.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not something I can really get on board with. But yeah, I don't really follow personalities, just games when it comes to streaming.
Yeah. For me, I don't want to name drop too much because there are a lot of different streamers that I really like to watch. Most of them and virtually all of them small time. I do follow larger stream... larger audience streamers, but I can only manage to watch them for a couple of minutes at a time. Whereas when I join in a smaller community streamers
it's more intimate.
Yeah. They actually know me. We've played games together. And, you know, that's how Mini DiMaggio even ended up here, right? Yeah. It's because it's like showing up at a friend's house and saying, what's up? So some of them, well, Mini DelMaggio, I guess I used to watch her streams. And then outside of that, Jessie Quill, she's a female streamer, also very much a part of the Twitch community and emotional support community when it comes to streaming. And then for dude streamer, Sir Venom IK is this older streamer guy who watches old dudes playing video games. I do. So, yeah. so Bobby, you'll
so bigger
you'll do
picture,
just fine.
Please.
So it's like one of those things where it's like anyone that I basically auto host are people that I befriended very early on in my stream community. And I'm very, I wouldn't say I'm like super tight knit, but at the same time, it's like they've seen my name in their chat over and over for the past 3 years. So, I like supporting the small streamer community for sure.
Yeah. For me, I like Warwitch TV. He's, that's how I met.
Oh
him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how, yeah, that's awesome.
And I've been subscribed to him for, actually I just hit my 32 month subscription with him last week.
Hell yeah. Yeah, way to go. He's awesome.
So yeah, he streams Vermintide too, because he used to play Vermintide 1 a lot. Mm. He He's also really into...
Have you played with him yet?
No. He's really into Dark Souls and really into one other game that I can't think of right now. But he used to be a CSGO shoutcaster for tournaments.
And he's fun.
He's older guy. I think he's like in his 40s right now.
Older guy that cosplays too. Yeah, that's fun.
That's funny.
Yeah, he cosplays every stream. He's either like, depending on the game, he like has like a cowl if he's playing like a fantasy game, or have like a Star Wars Imperial officer's suit on if he's playing like some game that's not fantasy based. So that's like the theme of his channel. He either goes like a evil characters type thing that are dark and sinister. And he's like a really cool personality. But other than that, Le French Stallion, he's that rock, the guitar game where you're playing an actual guitar.
Rock Band?
No, actual guitar.
Yeah.
That
I don't know what
I think it's called.
Oh, okay.
Rocksmith.
Rocksmith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he plays that and he just goes crazy. He's a French guy that has that crazy French accent and he's just wild all over the place. Really funny to watch. You guys should check him out. Le French Stallion.
Cool. For me, my favorite streamers are Smoochie and Mini Del Macho. Oh. Actually, that's not true.
What about Bobby? Where does his tiny webcam
his picture is too small. I will refuse until... All right. Actually, so PUBG finally got me into like watching streamers. I heard so much about Dr. Disrespect. And at this point, I've never watched him live. I don't think. I always watch... There's... people are making money off of streamers because they take clips from the funniest moments and put it on YouTube, and that's what I watch. So it's like called like Slick Daddy Clips.
Yeah,
he called himself
that's cool.
Slick Daddy. So
that's the most I can watch too.
But it's not him mostly. Making the money. I wish it was him making the clips. He could make so much more. But anyway, so I watch these things because he's fucking hilarious. This is how good it was. It is. Sam doesn't play PUBG, but she watches Dr. Disrespect with me. She laughs the whole time. She's like, he's so fucking funny. He's great. He's a character. Who else? So Shroud, I like watching him because he's so fucking good.
I love watching highly competitive.
He is so good.
Streamers,
it's
too.
Ridiculous. Like, almost cheating skills. Like, he's the best in the world at PUBG. So that think about how good you have to be. And he plays other shooters and you're just like, what the fuck? Like, it doesn't make sense how good he is. Mm-hmm. Who else? And then there's another guy called Summit G1. And
Summit 1G.
Yeah, 1G. And they all kind of like, they all play with each other sometimes. And then sometimes they kill each other in game. Like, they didn't know who it was before. And like, that's drama, right? Because like, fucking Disrespect. I think every time they've met, this is not planned out. This is just because they both play all day and eventually it's going to happen, right? I think every time that they've met, which has been three times, Dr. Disrespect has killed Summit.
It's so hilarious.
It's
does.
So funny. He's like,
is
fuck.
Really?
I am not going to hear the end of this. He's like, shit.
And what's hilarious is that the people that do the clips, they'll actually clip both POVs so you can see how the death cam played out. And I've it's hilarious.
Yep. And like the chat, because they won't even notice a lot of times that who it was because they don't read the name because they're in the game. And then somebody's like, that was Disrespect. That was Disrespect. You know, and they're like, ah, oh, fuck. And then like Shroud killed Dr. Disrespect last week. And I don't think he even noticed. Like, he didn't even address it till late, like later. But it's great when that shit happens. I'm all in their drama and shit.
Those are like the big time celebrities. Though. Yeah. Those are like top viewerships.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is when you see people who are famous for something else and now they're starting to stream on Twitch and gaining an audience that way. I've seen this happen with Tay Zonday.
Oh,
you know, Chocolate Rain. And
he
also
such a boring streamer.
Yeah, he's not very entertaining. He was terrible at Heroes of the Storm.
Who is
too.
He?
Oh, he was so bad.
Is that Chocolate Rain guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, someone in chat was mentioning Deadmau5.
Yeah.
Deadmau5 has always been a gamer, too.
He's been a featured streamer. Like, every time I go to Twitch, he's always on the top, like, featured streamer. But I never seem to catch him live.
Imagine, does he play his own music on stream?
Sometimes he does. Streams with him in his studio.
That's one of my favorite episodes of Linus Tech Tips is when he went to Deadmau5's house. Did you guys see that one?
No, I want to know though.
Fuck, dude. That to say audiophile, it doesn't even come close. I believe the room where he makes music is suspended in air.
Yep, I've seen it.
Because so it won't like so the vibrations don't bleed into the walls.
Wow.
And then he's bought all these machines that are the only machines in the world that can make the noise that they make.
Wow.
And that's how he came up with all those funky things that's why he has original music, because nobody else can make those sounds.
And what's really cool too is I was a big Deadmau5 fan because I was really big into EDMs and going to festivals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Once upon a younger me. And it's so interesting watching the videos where they create his stage and his helmet and all of that stuff.
His helmet's like,
but my favorite,
a lot goes into that fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the inside of it. It's crazy.
Mm. What?
The inside of the helmet.
I actually wanted Deadmau5 for Halloween once.
Weird.
The way you
put it on?
No, it just took pictures.
Oh, okay.
Inside.
I'm imagining I've been inside of his helmet. It just sounds weird. Has his helmet been inside of you?
Oh, my God. Only the tip, all right?
All right.
All right. So that wraps it up for listener questions here. What's the week looking like for everyone?
One last thing. The greatest mixed martial artist of all time, Demetrius Donchin, is a streamer as well. And he streams regularly. It's like kind of his side gig. And he's known as the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. And he just happens to be a streamer too. The reason he's not a household name and why you guys haven't heard of him, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, he's 125 pounds. So because he's so small, like those small weight classes don't get the attention like the
heavyweights.
The heavyweights do. Right. And it's unfortunate because he's amazing.
Yeah.
But he had a great clip the other day where he's just like talking to the stream and somebody sniped him in PUBG through the wall, through a window from miles away, it seemed like. And he fell out of his chair from fright, right? Because it was like so random. He was just like looting, right? And the glass breaks, headshot. He goes, ah!
That is so funny.
Why do they have to be so violent?
Who's that one? Who's that one streamer? Oh, Tyler One has the Blood Rush. He sells, you know how
he's the LoL player, right?
Yeah, he was banned for a long time. Yeah, and he came back.
He's the only one competing with Dr. Disrespect for like most views of all time.
Yeah, right.
He has his own supplement, I believe, and it's called Blood Rush. And there's so many clips of other streamers like talking shit. And I forgot the streamer's name, but he basically just like he like takes Blood Rush and he does it in the most entertaining way, where he's like literally like he's shaking, like tired, and then he takes the Blood Rush and he like explosive, like let's game, you know, like. Type of like hyping up.
Is it supposed to be an up? Yeah. Does it have like caffeine in it? Or
I think it's pre-workout, to be honest.
Yeah, probably.
Pre-game workout.
Like it's just pre-game. Explode or something.
You know?
Yeah.
Some C4.
It improves your reaction time by 0.0005 seconds. Who knows?
That could be the difference, G. Yeah. It's killer be killed out here in this world.
Oh, man.
That's what Adderall's for.
Yeah. Oh,
yep.
Games, though. Games we're playing this week.
Games we're playing this week.
Vermintide 2, and I'm going to try to get into Final Fantasy 15. Got my friend's...
Axis,
yeah.
Hopefully. Is it on Steam?
Yeah, it's on Steam. Just got released Friday, I believe.
What are you running? What's your rig?
1080.
1080? Oh, okay.
1070, sorry. 1070.
So you're not going to have any issues?
No.
Because that is a pixel pusher, right?
Yeah. From what I hear, my friend, he has a 1080 Founders water cooled, and he says it's pushing his.
Wow. And then on an ultra wide too, it does have support, I've heard. So I hear that you need a beast rig to play it. So good thing I'm not very interested in the game.
Mm-hmm. Neither am I. I just want to play the shit on it, really.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I also have Dark Souls 3, so you can play that off my account as well.
But after the other game.
Surge. I think. Bobby?
Oh, yeah.
Hots.
Yeah, well, obviously. I'm going to keep playing a bunch of random games and find out which one sticks. Like, I'm trying to find that game right now. I had a good run there. Phoning Home, Subnautica. Like, I had a run there where I was into some games for a while. But
same here.
Immortal Redneck. But Long Dark just kind of derailed me.
I was kind of... Yeah. And are you going to be streaming more?
Going to try. Yeah, these next 2 weeks, don't expect too much. But after that, when I'm on break, yeah.
I was deep in a rut of what you're talking about, Bobby, of like a game you could get into until Dead Cells. And then, but since Dead Cells, it's been kind of like, meh. Vermintide's fun. Yeah. But Vermintide, you know, you're playing with your friends. How is it not going to be good? Until that random guy comes in, starts talking a bunch of shit, yeah, and loses every game.
Speaking of Rets, guys, that's exactly what I'm in right now. Don't expect me to stream or play any other game than maybe Counter-Strike Go.
So,
like, I didn't even put on makeup today. I just, like, showed up, and, like, with a fucking hat covering my face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing the Dr. Disrespect. I'm,
like, the first, like, thing, you know, she... Oh, yeah. The apology video.
The apology video, yeah, right now. So, that's me.
She showed up and she's like, I am not in a good mood. I was like, oh boy. But you were fine.
Oh yeah, I'm okay.
Other than calling my mom an ugly monster.
No, you called your own mom an ugly monster.
That was me, right?
Oh my gosh,
Manny. Well, it sounds like we got an exciting week lined up.
Yep. Way to kill it there, Bobby.
An exciting week of indecision when it comes to gaming. I don't know.
No, I've made my decision.
Maybe I could just happen upon a game and be like, this is it, this is the game, and then have a lot to talk about next week. So I don't know, maybe it could turn around.
Hey Bobby, how much did you play the one where you roll a boulder down the hill?
Not as much as I should have.
Yeah, same here.
I enjoyed the single player. I started getting into the multiplayer some, and then I was like, nah. Yeah, kind of like the
first one.
I still
haven't installed, but I just haven't. What's it called?
Rock of Ages 2.
Rock of Ages 2, yeah. Yeah. We are fans, but we just didn't give it the time it deserved.
All right.
Wrap this bitch up.
Wrap it up.
So, speaking for Bobby, Chi, Minnie, and myself, tiny chair titties.
No, D-Shield titties.
D-Shield. Clutch D-Shield titties. Oh, clutch double D-Shield titties. Boom.
Oh!